Gain-of-function research is a type of biomedical research where pathogens are adulterated, viruses are adulterated to make them more potent or to change the way that they function.
It's a big deal. Could have been that we wouldn't have had the problem we had.
A lot of people say that, sir.
If we had this done.
There is now another new director of the nation's top public health agency. President announcing on Truth Social that Dr. Erica Schwartz will take over as the next leader of the CDC.
I do believe that mRNA technology is safe and effective.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
We found in this study, looking at the vaccine adverse event reporting system, these vaccines have killed like 2,600% more children than measles has for the past 30 years.
In your entire career, how many fetuses have you worked with?
I don't remember the exact number, but quite a few when we were studying them originally, before we decided to use them to make vaccines.
The end game has always been, and Bill Gates said this very clearly in 2011, the World Health Organization has stipulated this from 2011, and they recited again in 2018 and 2019, their end game is the decrease of the population of humanity on this planet. And that's a polite way of saying that these are sociopathic murderers who are actually building weapons to conveniently turn what we call healthcare into the front line of the biggest mercenary deployment of mass murdering psychopaths we've ever seen on this planet. And we as a society need to understand that it's not coming from a foreign adversary. It's coming from domestic adversaries who are intent on destroying the orderly structure of the United States.
I think Bill Gates has done more damage to the world's health than probably any other individual, aided and abetted by Tony Fauci.
You murdering Bill Gates!
Psychopath!
You son of a bitch!
You have blood on your hands! You have blood!
Sure, but you're a certified medical doctor, so, I mean, you're not allowed to do something to me without consent. It's a felony. I'm asking how Bill Gates and Google run around in Latin America and here and then dump out GMO mosquitoes with God knows what to supposedly, you know, flying syringes is what they call it. Who gave him the right? I got to go to the hospital, the doctor, and sign consent forms. Why does Dr. Bill Gates get to rape me and my family and put in my body what he wants?
I believe it was Tennessee that outlawed edible vaccines in their grocery store. Because, again, you don't know what the dose is. You don't know how much you're supposed to eat. I mean, what happens if you're supposed to eat one head of lettuce and you eat 10 heads of lettuce? What kind of dose does that do to your body? The whole vaccine industry, honestly, Alex, just needs to blow up and go away.
House Bill 1894 merely would require any food that contains a vaccine or vaccine material would have to be classified as a drug and labeled as such.
So it's no secret that Bill Gates is one of the most hated evil people on earth. And that he put all his money into tax-free foundations, so he basically pays no taxes. Then he uses large parts of the profit to buy off all the major regulatory institutions of the world at the UN, globalist level, and at the national level. And people that want to kill everybody pose as liberal-loving, you know, take this shot, take this COVID shot, you can't get COVID, you can't spread it. But they want to get rid of the poor, they want to get rid of the middle class, they want to get rid of the white people, they want to get rid of everybody that basically stands in their way. And what they really want is the power to kill whoever they want.
We were going to make a movie together, and they just had a beautiful new baby. And I said, well, what shots did you give the baby? She said, none. And I said, what? She said, yeah, they're too small to absorb those toxins right now. They don't have an immune system. They have an external immune system. Their mother's breast milk.
Yes.
And I said, well, why do you tell other people to get it? We said, well, that's up to them. When we went to school, it's like three shots. Now, it's staggering. It's 72 different doses of 16 different vaccines before the age of six. And we're wondering, why is there, and people go, I can't have anything to do with it. I can't have anything to do with it. Are you nuts? So.
By the way, I should say for the record, I think YouTube will censor this.
No, they will.
They'll demonetize it just for having this conversation.
I'm sorry. Well, you might have to put this out there with this part cut out.
You cannot, under any moral justification, come up with an excuse that says it's acceptable to have a death rate of American citizens. And that's a quote that has come not only from Moderna, but also from Pfizer.
Do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing someone else will save the galaxy. It pleases me greatly.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Nothing can stop me. The force lies within.
There is no escape from what you are becoming. Lay down your weapon or be destroyed.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Friday afternoon. We're going to open up the phone lines for your calls this Friday. We got the address from Donald Trump to talk about, the corruption of our election by the Chinese. Of course, we've got to talk about anti-Semitism. Of course, we have to talk about that. Talk about Flock. We'll talk about what's going on in the Iran war. Whatever the latest is going on there. But I think I want to start with a video that's gone totally mega viral many, many times over on X. It's a man running for office in Maine, I guess. It's our first introduction to this gentleman. Let's go to, we actually got a couple of good ones. Can we go to clip 32? Let's go to clip 32 here. This is the Maine senatorial debate for the Democrat candidates. One candidate is standing out from all the others. Let's watch.
Oh, I ran for office several times. Didn't win, but I did run. And then I'm a songwriter, and then I write my own books. And then I suppose my transparency, I wouldn't lie to the people, and I wouldn't deceive the people like we're being deceived right now. Like,
it's better. It's better than a Saturday Night Live skit. I'm being totally serious. And it's so good. I don't know. I genuinely hope this is like a performance art piece, because it's very good. It's very hysterical. So, I want to watch now. So the Senate candidates are asked, what experience do they have? Why should they be Senate candidates? In particular, about their experience, their wealth of knowledge, what qualifies them for being a senator. Let's listen to Ashley Webb's response again.
Oh, I ran for office several times. Didn't win, but I did run. And then I'm a songwriter, and then I write my own books. And then I suppose my transparency, I wouldn't lie to the people, and I wouldn't deceive the people like we're being deceived right now. Like,
it's amazing. That's amazing. What qualifies you to be a senator? I write my own songs and I write my own books. I like the way that he phrases it as if it's like normal books aren't good enough. He can't just be out there reading other people's books. For it to satisfy him, he's got to be the one to write it. Nobody else is capable of writing books that he is able to enjoy. That's that when he says, like, I write my own books, it sounds like he's also reading his own books. Like, it doesn't even sound like he's publishing them. He's just like, I write the books that I read. I don't know. But then he says the thing that would qualify him would be his transparency, because he wouldn't lie. He wouldn't lie or try to deceive the people. This is a man in a dress. This is a man in a dress named Ashley saying how honest and truthful he is. He's like, my number one qualification, I guess, would be my dedication to reality. You know, and my dedication to honesty, to honestly brokering what is reality. I think that's my greatest strength, probably, says the man in a dress named Ashley. I got a mission for the crew. How old do we think Ashley Webb is? I'm going to guess that the crew's saying mid-40s. I think he is 39 years old. I think he's 39 years old. And the crew's going to look it up, and we're going to find out. Because I've got an idea. I've got a theory about this person. My theory is that when I was growing up, I was born in 1989. I'm 36 years old. Ashley was the name of the popular cool kids. That was like a very popular, if you ever watch Recess, you remember it was the Ashleys. There was the group of the popular girls that were called the Ashleys. I just have a feeling that that might have been behind the name change. The man changed his name to Ashley Webb. And I just think this might be a little bit of an insight into his motivation for all of this. I have the feeling he's about my age, and he probably grew up with the name Ashley associated with the cool, hot, popular girls, and he always wanted to be a cool, hot, popular girl. Just my guess. Just my assumption. The crew will find the age here. Maybe mid-40s. I mean, she don't look good. She doesn't look good. She looks like a bad mid-30s. All right, let's go to the next clip. That's not the only one that's gone viral. Clip 34 here. Again, Ashley Webb making the case in this regard for why the trans community needs protection. Let's watch.
I'm Ashley Webb. I'm from Farmington, Maine. The biggest thing I'd like to get across is that we need unity. Whoever wins this nomination, we need to show up at the polls. We need to vote for them, and we need to make sure they win no matter what, because what's going on in this country is not right. With the immigration and immigrants are being targeted, they're being rounded up like animals. It's not acceptable to allow this to go on in our streets. And then with the trans community, like, we're being dehumanized. They say that we want to hurt people. I don't want to hurt anybody. I just want to use the bathroom. And if they want me to use the men's room, I will, but I don't want to be assaulted. And as far as, like, this, what happened in Biddeford, it's unacceptable. We knew since January that what ICE has been doing with Alex and Renee.
Okay. It's almost funnier if you didn't know he was a trans person. That's what had me cracking up. Like, imagine you didn't know this was a trans person. You're just hearing, like, audio or whatever, or that wasn't part of it. He's like, I don't want to hurt anybody. I just want to use the bathroom. I don't want to hurt anybody. I just want to pee in the toilet. What are we talking about here? That's crazy. It's like, no. He's a man who's dressed up like a woman. He wants to use the woman's bathroom. Okay. That makes less sense, actually. That makes even less sense. I mean, it didn't make sense already when the Senate candidate is saying, vote for me. I just want to use the potty. This is our country. This is our country, folks. This is our country. This is the United States of America in the year 2026. This guy might win. Why not? Right? Why not? People are like, oh, he's honest. Her exact age or birth date is not publicly available. What? Okay. Was he made in a lab? Where did he come from? Is he a real person? Bullet point 3, public records match for Ashley Webb or Ashley J. Webb in Maine or nearby area show various unrelated individuals with ages in the 30s to 50s. Book summaries note, she was born intersexed, raised as a boy, and spent decades navigating her condition, which implies she's likely in her 30s or older, consistent with running an office for 2012. What are we trying? We're trying to, like, find her star sign? It's like, no, there should just be a birth date somewhere. Who are you? What is your real name? That might be helpful. Tell us, like, give us what you were actually named by your parents, and maybe we can find you. Then again, I guess Ashley is an intersex name. It was a boy's name at one point, Ashley. So Maybe we're all a little bit confused. I to be perfect, I'm going to linger on this story for as long as humanly possible because, yes, while on one hand it does represent the wholesale collapse of our entire nation in on itself with the man in a dress saying he's running for Senate because he wants to use the bathroom, it's, okay, on one hand, it's still the symptom of a collapsing and dying and fraught society of chaos and insanity. Yes, that is true. But it's also kind of funny. But it's also pretty funny. And hey, he's not in office yet, so we can still laugh at him as just another crazy person without power yet. It's going to be a hell of a lot less funny when he's the one actually dictating policy. But let's not let it get, can we not let it get there? This is one of those instances, I think. It's one of those cases where a little bit of bigotry could go a long way. A little bit of discrimination could really save a lot of time. It's kind of like that Ben Franklin quote, stitch in time saves nine. It's kind of a little bit of bigotry now saves a lot of suffering later. And I know we train ourselves. We continuously, for our whole lives as Americans, reestablish in our own minds to reject the proof of your eyes. It's like, I know this person looks like an insane idiot, but they could be a genius. You don't know. You don't know. And in general, I tend to live by that because truly it's shocking. You know, you see a dude in a suit. He's just the biggest scumbag in the world. Meanwhile, the person looks like they're homeless. It's actually like some professor. You know, so yeah, typically, but in this case, so with those caveats out of the way, in this case, let's discriminate, okay? Let's be bigots. Let's look at the man with the long stringy hair, barely putting a sentence together, wearing a dress. Let's just go, that's not who you want running things. It's just not. And I, in this case, absolutely judge the book by its cover. That's a great way to figure out whether you should read a book or not, is its cover, actually. But then you can hear the thing talk, and yeah, it doesn't get any better. It's actually kind of worse. It's actually worse, actually, when they talk. I almost want to play it again. It was so funny. I mean, genuinely, you can't act that well. I mean, it's that this is amazing. This is amazing. Tell the people, tell the voters, Ashley Webb, what qualifies you to sit amongst our halls of glory, to take your place in the hallowed confines of the United States Senate, this body of leaders and mavericks who dictate the course of our country and the world? Tell us, Ashley Webb, what qualifies you to rank amongst this glorious population? The floor is yours.
I'm Ashley Webb. I'm from Farmington, Maine. The biggest thing I'd like to get across is that we need unity. Whoever wins this nomination, we need to show up at the polls. We need to vote for them, and we need to make sure they win no matter what, because what's going on in this country is not right.
Why would you run? Why would you run? Like, can we? Why would you run for office, lady? I mean, this is just...
this to go on in our streets. And then with the trans community,
I'm trying to be polite here, you know,
they say that we want to hurt people. I don't want to hurt anybody. I just want to use the bathroom.
There it is.
If they want
put that on a shirt, I think you have your bumper sticker. I think you just found your motto. I think you just found your slogan. The Ashley Webb version of Make America Great Again is I don't want to hurt anybody. I just want to use the restroom. I just want to use the restroom. What's so wrong with that? Picture of a toilet, her face coming out of it. I think you have a winning campaign here. The Obama Hope poster, but it says poop. I think you have something here. I don't want to hurt anybody. I just want to use the restroom. Are you looking for a restroom? It's right over there. Oh, you mean like that's your goal in life? What? That's like your highest ambition as a politician? Okay. Oh, gosh. All right. You know, it's Friday. I'm trying to take a little bit, you know, less seriously and just like manna from heaven, we're delivered better comedy than SNL. Let's run it back. Let's go 32 this time. Let's do the first video, where they're asked to actually say what qualifies them. Let's go to clip 32 now. Again, your next senator from Maine, the hulking ogre, Lady Ashley. Let's watch.
I'm a songwriter, and then I write my own books, and then I suppose my transparency, I wouldn't lie to the people, and I wouldn't deceive the people like we're being deceived right now. Like,
you're right. You're not deceiving anybody. That was a moment of lucidity and clarity there. The man in the dress with the stringy hair going, I would not deceive anybody. You're damn right. That's why you're going in the men's bathroom, because you're not deceiving anybody. I just don't want to be assaulted. Well, by who? Nobody's going to assault you in the men's bathroom. They would insult you if you went into the women's bathroom. Don't go in there. Don't do that. That's wrong. That's wrong and bad. All right. My goodness. We are going to have to move on now. We're going to have to move on from Lady Blob. It's just, you know, can she be president? Can we make him/her president? At least it'd be fun. You don't know what you'd get. Why is this such a cult? What is going on with the LGBT in this country? Because it gets a little bit insane. We have a clip here of, I guess this is Nashville, clip number 9. For some reason, I was assuming this was, you know, Fort Worth because of all of the First Amendment mistakes they've made in the recent past, but Metro Nashville Police Department is putting up LGBTQ stickers on businesses as part of their Safe Place program. They're claiming these spots are protected zones where criticizing the LGBTQ community could get you in trouble. So this is the police. There's a couple oddities about this, but let's watch the video. Clip 9, here's Metro Police in Nashville talking about how gay they are. Let's watch.
I love being a part of it. I love being able to go out with my wife throughout the entire city and being able to say, hey, I put that sticker on that business. Bruh. As of this morning, we have 129 different businesses. So a Safe Place is basically a business will get in contact with me. I'll come out to the location and go over the program. It's basically a safe place, essentially, for any victim of any hate crime whatsoever to come into the business, inform the business owners or the employees what happened to them, and then that business is responsible for keeping the victim in a safe public spot and then calling 911 on the behalf. Fun fact is that lipstick and chapstick are both part of Safe Place, but they're also one of the first ones when I came on to be the LGBTQ liaison, signed up to be a part of the Safe Place program. I think more now than ever, somebody needs to know that they're loved, whether it's within their blood family or within their chosen family. There's people out there for you, and to not be scared to live your full authentic self.
Look, I'm no expert in domestic abuse, but lesbian cop, that's a combo you're going to want to steer away from. I'm just saying, two highest rates of domestic abuse, professionally, cops, relationship status, lesbians. So I'm just saying, if you want to, you make sure to get the blackout on domestic abuse bingo. Stick with the lesbian cop. That is a safe bet there. So, I guess a safe space. So she's like, all right, we put these stickers on these buildings. So a safe space, I guess, to translate what she was saying, a safe space is like a building or a business. But it's a special building or business where if you're the victim of a hate crime, you can go inside and they'll call 911, which, you know, makes them like a business with humans. You know, it's unlike those other, you know, you try to go into the bar next door, they will actually continue to hate crime you. So we should put a sticker on their wall. Like, can you imagine? I mean, you can just imagine how useful this is. Probably every weekend, there's a moment where a gay person, having just been savagely beaten in a hate crime attack, stumbling through the streets of Nashville, blood gushing from their nose, frantically looking for a rainbow sticker so they can go inside and know that they'll be protected and safe by the patrons inside. They stumble to one bar, and the bar owner's like, "Do you see a rainbow sticker in this window? Get out of here. We're not a safe space. We don't even have a telephone. How are we supposed to call 911? You got to go to one of them fancy places with the gay window. They'll hook you up. Not here." So thank goodness. So thank God we have the safe space program so that the everyday victims of the vicious anti-gay hate crimes can know which bars to stumble into to receive care and comfort rather than another beating. So thank goodness we have this. What would we do without them? But here's my question. How dangerous is it to be a gay person in a culture where you're going around putting giant stickers on businesses talking about how gay they are? Like, hear me out here. Hear me out here. In the Nazi times, they would draw a big Star of David on the Jewish shops to let everybody know it was Jews in there so that they could boycott it. And that was dangerous for the Jews there. That was a sign of what was to come. And the display of the sign was like a warning bell that they should listen to. In this case, this is the gay cop putting a gay sticker on the gay business to tell everybody how gay it is because of how scary it is to be gay. Because of how scary and dangerous it is to be gay, you know, they're always being hate crimed, as we see all the time. I mean, I can hardly walk down the street without seeing another gay hate crime happen. I'm sorry, hate crime against gays. A gay hate crime would be like Will and Grace or something. It's like daytime TV. That's a gay hate crime. But, you know, it's such a big problem. It's such a difficult thing to be gay in America these days that you have to let everybody know how gay you are by putting a big rainbow sticker talking about how gay people gather and can find safety there. So, you know, obviously they're just living in terror. They're living in a state of abject terror, getting beaten up all the time, desperately in need of sanctuary in the middle of Nashville, Tennessee, just in case the KKK happens to sniff them out. They need a safe place to go hide, but luckily it's displayed really big on the window how gay they are. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, there's an inconsistency here. A place that like a community, a society, a culture that advertises how gay they are on their front door is not actually in need of safe spaces for gay people. It's gay enough already. You're not in any danger being gay. That's what that means. So in a way, you doing the safe space sticker thing is only possible in a location where you don't need a safe space sticker thing. So I think this is all just performative. I think you're just performing. I think this is all attention seeking and ego boosting to feel like an oppressed minority and a victim class, when in reality, you're just gay. Nobody cares. It's just annoying. It's just annoying now. We didn't care that you were gay. We care that you make it your entire personality and put giant gay stickers everywhere telling everybody how gay you are and how scared you are because of how dangerous it is to be gay. I wish we wouldn't have to deal with this. Kidding. I'm kidding.
I'm extremely excited about this. You know, we always have the strongest turmeric at thealexjonesstore.com, and the capsules are 95% curcuminoid. That is the strongest in the market. So the very same great manufacturer that made this made it as a liquid tincture, the strongest on the market and even better than powder because there's even better absorption, ultimate turmeric, and it's got a bunch of other amazing ingredients that are known to supercharge turmeric. I know so many people that Advil doesn't work when they have a sprained ankle or arthritis, but when they take our brand of turmeric, they go, this works better than Advil. And you know, including family I've had that's like, well, this pill's not as big as my other turmeric. My other turmeric helps, but I got to take a bunch of the pills. I said, just take two of these. And whether it's my dad or my wife or anybody, they're like, wow, this worked better. Why? Because those aren't concentrates. Those are raw turmeric. This raw turmeric's 4 to 5% curcuminoid. 95. Okay? So we're very excited about this tincture. Just a half dropper a day. So good for your whole body. 95% curcuminoids. The liquid is better absorption. And this is 60 servings per bottle, so 2-month supply. And right now, if you're a subscriber, you just sign up to lock in at 50%, canceling time for free. If you lock in at 50% off, it's 25% off for everybody if you just buy it straight off at thealexshowstore.com. The new Ultimate Liquid Turmeric Tincture. And it's got a bunch of other really cool stuff in it as well. Not just concentrated turmeric root, curcumin lunga, the strongest part, but ginger root concentrated, zingbeer officinal is the, I guess, the Latin for it, and pepperdine concentrated black pepper extract. All of it synergistically works together. 250 milligrams and just a half dropper of the turmeric concentrate, 12 milligrams of the concentrated ginger, and 100 of the pepperdine black pepper extract. Very strong, an amazing product. The newest product at thealexjonesstore.com. Liquid tincture, superior absorption. Pepperdine inclusion is the difference maker. Turmeric without pepperdine is largely wasted. Most budget companies do that. Natural enzymes and things in the concentrated pepper get into the cells quicker. Triple ingredient synergy, turmeric, ginger, concentrated black pepper, 60 servings, vegan friendly, GMO free, gluten free, free of major allergies, natural flavors only, no additives or synthetic flavorings, and it funds this operation. And anybody getting the products, the other great supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, the t-shirts, the collectible coins that are about to sell out, the amazing shower filters of the highest rated, taking out the most toxins of any brand, at an incredibly low price, should be a VIP. Every month in your profile, it charges you $30. You can cancel anytime for free. You instantly, when you're charged, get $40 in your profile to spend. Special deals, special offers, and sales on top of all the other sales. Everyone should be a VIP. And if you're worried about some products that sell out from time to time, just become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on all future orders of that product as long as you stay subscribed. Cancel anytime. So become a VIP, become a subscriber, and lock it in with no commitment from you, but it's locked in for you if you choose to keep it locked in at thealexjonesstore.com. New Liquid Ultimate Turmeric, the strongest on the market. So good for your whole body and inflammation. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Back, ladies and gentlemen. We're moving on now. We're moving on from the transgender section of today's program. Let's talk about the speech that Donald Trump gave last night. I'm waiting for something other than a speech. Literally anything other than a speech, any action, anything would be nice other than a speech, another investigation, another looking into. Can we get some action for once? Can we get something done for once? And we'll talk a little bit about what would be done if the sides were flipped. If the Republicans had even an iota, a minuscule sampling of the resolve and aggressiveness of the Democrats, how easily we could solve everything. We'll go to the speech now. But I gotta say, this is just, again, completely off the mark. Did China try to meddle in our elections? Probably. Did it have an effect? Maybe. The mail-in ballots were used to steal the election. Jenna Griswold stole the election. And in fact, William Barr stole the election. We know who stole the election. We know how they stole the election. We know how they covered up the stolen election. Was China involved? Sure, maybe, fine. Go after them too. But go after the people that actually did it here. For whatever their motivation, whether it was with China or not, they stole the election. They rigged our election. They used mail-in ballots to do it. And you don't need any other argument. You really don't. You really don't. I'm trying to think of like if this, you know, just put in any other crime. Any other crime. If your house got broken into and you were robbed and the police for years keep coming back to you like, okay, we think we've tracked down the missing material to a person in China. We're looking into the financial records of this person in China to see if maybe they had anything to do with the person that robbed you. And it's like, just arrest the person that robbed me. Arrest them to punish them for what they did so they don't do it again. So I can get repaid for my stuff. Just arrest the people doing the crime. Why are we spending year after year after year endlessly investigating things that we know that they did in their own words verbatim? I mean, do we need to bring up people like Peter Strzok and Lisa Page in their own text messages? This is our insurance plan. That was all the way back in 2016. So it's just like, how am I supposed to get excited about a presentation about China rigging the election? I would get excited if they paraded a bunch of Democrats in handcuffs. I'd be excited if they were like, here's all the arrests we made. Here's the changes we're making to the electoral process. Oh, and by the way, China was involved. Great. I'd be very satisfied. This is nothing. I'm sorry. This is nothing. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to come of this. This isn't what actually happened. We know what actually happened. This is like the one thing I would like to do if I was a politician. I would love to be able to sit in Congress, have somebody under oath in front of me talking about election integrity. Because I got like two questions that can destroy the entire concept of mail-in ballots. This is so elementary. Like, what the hell this is the frustrating part. It's like, okay, here's my question. One, is it possible that a mail-in ballot is mailed to somebody other than its intended recipient? Is that possible? The answer is obviously yes, because we have infinite examples of that exact thing happening. There are no controls to guarantee that that doesn't happen. We know that that happens on a regular basis. To at times an absurd degree. We've had callers call in like, yeah, I got five different ballots because of all the people that used to live here and never changed their address. All of their ballots got delivered to me. Okay. So it's not actually a question. It's a rhetorical question. Is it possible in mail-in ballots, the mass mail-out ballot, not the individually requested absentee ballots, but the mass mail-out mail-in ballots, is it possible that those are sent to the wrong recipient? The answer is, of course, yes, it has to be. The next question would be, what would prevent a person receiving somebody else's ballot from filling that ballot out and sending it in? What controls are there? How do you guarantee that doesn't happen? If that did happen, is there a system to detect that? The answer, of course, is no. It has to be no. There is no system to detect that. There is no way of knowing. It's not like the envelope has an ID scanner and you prove who you are as you fill out the ballot. So all that means is that we are running a system in which ballots with somebody's name on it can be sent to somebody, whoever can fill it out, put it in a mailbox, send it in, and it is counted as a valid ballot. It is counted as a vote. And in fact, we know because of the Detroit training videos, if it did arise that the person showed up in person to vote, said, I never sent in a mail-in ballot, I never even received a mail-in ballot, they were told to lie to that person
say it's fine, just fill out this, you know, temporary ballot and then throw that ballot away and count the one that was mailed in. We know that that's the case, but that's extemporaneous. That's extra anyway. Already, just from the two facts I just laid out, you know that this system cannot be secure. It is impossible to secure it. You can't, it's logistically impossible to go back and guarantee that every ballot sent in was sent in by the right person. You can't do it. The only thing you could possibly do is signature match, and that is like nothing. That's like, you might as well practice, you know, whatever that science is where the shape of your skull determines your personality. Like, there's no way to do it effectively, realistically. So that's it. Like, that's the argument right there. You shouldn't have mail-in ballots, and all mail-in ballot results should be thrown out because you literally cannot guarantee anything about it. And anybody answering those two questions honestly, and you can't answer them not honestly. Like, if I were to say, can a mail-in ballot be sent to the wrong person? You can't say no, because you would just be an idiot. Like, everybody would know that you're lying. You can't say no, that doesn't happen. Of course that happens. All you can say is, well, people shouldn't do that. Well, it's a felony crime to open a you know, somebody else's mail. Really? You think that's going to stop people? You think if somebody who's like a diehard, you know, Trump is Hitler leftist gets five different ballots in their mailbox, they would have any hesitation in filling them out for Biden or Harris, putting it in the mailbox and walking away clean, walking away scot-free? Am I wrong? I mean, you tell me. To me, those two questions demolish the entire concept of mail-in balloting. Can mail-in ballots be sent to the wrong person? Is there any way to detect that a ballot is filled out by somebody other than the person that's supposed to be? The only possible way is through signatures, and that is a joke. It's a complete joke. In the short time that enhanced save systems have been available to states, 10 states have processed their full voter lists. As of June 22, 2026, a total of 25 different states processed more than 68 million registration records through the save system. DHS has enabled those states to identify over 400,000 deceased residents, registrants, and over 28,000 non-citizens who illegally registered to vote. Wow. 28,000 non-citizens who illegally registered to vote. Yeah, that's a lot, especially when our elections are decided by a few thousand votes in a few key districts. That could swing the entire election nationwide. But that's just on top of already laid out the intrinsic shortcomings, the intrinsic insecurity of mail-in ballot systems. So we can listen to Donald Trump talking about China stealing the election, but that's not the problem. It's just not. The problem is the Democrats. And that should be obvious. Let's go to clip number one here. Donald Trump on the 220 million U.S. voter files being investigated.
They show that over a period of years, starting during the 2020 election cycle, the People's Republic of China carried out what is believed to be the largest compromise of election data in history, resulting in China's illicit acquisition of 220 million U.S. voter files. That information includes names, addresses, phone numbers, political party preferences, and other sensitive data that would be needed to register to vote and engage in other nefarious activities, which is exactly what was happening. This data loss presents an unprecedented election security nightmare. The intelligence even shows that China has signed a data exploitation unit specifically to this new project. Compounding the travesty, the second set of documents we are releasing reveals that members of the deep state, very, very famous group of people, many cases, in our intelligence agency work to actively suppress and downplay information about the extent of China's sinister election meddling, covering it up from both the president and the American people like nobody thought was possible.
So I didn't hear anything about them stealing the election. So they gathered data, they gathered information.
How did they use that? Did they use it? Now, again, people are posting all sorts of videos of Avril Haines, former ODNI director, talking about the threat of China meddling in the elections. People are posting old videos of Hillary Clinton saying, if they're asking the Russians, we should ask China to be involved. I'm sure China is meddling. All right, this is not the problem. This is not the issue. I'm sorry. It's just not. In my opinion, I think we got bigger fish to fry. I think we got bigger problems to try to deal with. Let's go to clip number 10 here. Again, this is more about CIA hiding information about China meddling in the 2020 election.
The cover-up of this colossal security breach is even more disturbing in light of the additional information showing that China engaged in other election-related activities to undermine my first administration and our 2020 campaign. They did not want, and they just didn't want it. They fought like hell not to have it, Donald Trump, to win, and for good reason. As the documents we are releasing show, CIA reporting explicitly stated, and I quote, in mid-2018, the Chinese Communist Party's policy was to leverage all domestic and foreign elements that were opposed to the U.S. president in an effort to reduce the U.S. president's votes and make him resign or prevent his reelection. Isn't that nice? Also, in mid-2018, China was working to influence the results of the U.S. midterm elections and later the results of the 2020 presidential election itself. Separately, in mid-2019, the Chinese government's strategy against the United States was focused on undermining domestic confidence in the U.S. president. They wanted to just make you sound like your president wasn't so hot, when actually your president has done a great job, and they did everything possible to do exactly that. Going on, this document says, and this is by the CIA, the strategy included efforts to use Chinese contacts with big U.S. companies to influence U.S. business leaders to turn against the president of the United States of America. The Chinese government sought to identify U.S. journalists who had reported negatively on the U.S. president and pay them large sums of money to write more negative articles about him, as many as they could, and they didn't care what they said. The Chinese government wanted U.S. president to lose the next election, and the reason they wanted me to lose is because they knew I was wise to them, charged them billions and billions of dollars worth of tariffs, and built the strongest military anywhere in the world. We have the strongest military anywhere in the world. These are exact quotes from the CIA reporting.
If you remember yesterday, I was complaining or just sort of pontificating about the endless hypocrisy of the left and how, like, they wouldn't exist if they weren't hypocrites, that it wouldn't make any sense for them. They're, like, extremely, you know, angry about oppression of minorities in America, and then equally applied that to the oppression of white people in South Africa. Like, it would be hilarious. That would never happen because they don't actually care about minority rights. They hate white people, right? It's exposed in their hypocrisy that if it was at all consistent, you know, they would be just as mad at China for interfering with the election as they pretended to be about Russia when they thought that Russia was, you know, manipulating Donald Trump. But they don't care. Here's the problem. It's hard not to be a hypocrite. And I have principles. So while I would love if I could cheer on this announcement as if this was, you know, a major bombshell, I have to be consistent. I can't help it. And what I just heard Donald Trump lay out sounded a hell of a lot like what the Democrats claimed about Russia, like what actually Russia did. Not the, you know, Trump is a Russian puppet stuff, but like they paid for Facebook ads. They gathered data about voters. Okay. And that's not rigging our election. It probably didn't even affect our election. So what Donald Trump just laid out was China paid people to write stuff that was unfriendly to Trump. Well, I don't know if you watched your vice president on Joe Rogan yesterday, Mr. President, but, you know, they talked for several minutes about how Israel is paying influencers to write negative material about your administration to try to stop the peace process with the war in Iran. Do you care about that? It's exactly what China's doing. Like, how am I supposed to care about China telling people to write articles when it's like the most well-publicized thing ever right now that Israel is spending tens of millions of dollars running entire networks, campaigns, buying out TikTok, but China doing it, it's awful. It's really bad. It's so bad, you know, when they paid. It's like only Israel is allowed to own our politicians. There's something else he said in that last segment. I can't remember exactly what it was, but, you know, it could just be applied directly to Miriam Adelson, right? It's foreigners don't have America's best interests in mind, paying a ton of money to shift politics in their benefit. Yeah, I'm against China doing this, but they are not the biggest threat to this happening in America right now. And of course, this is almost entirely has to do with the war in Iran, Section 219, everybody recognizing that Israel is not our friend and Iran is not exactly our biggest problem. And so they're trying to create problems with China to distract from 219, to make it look like we're a unified front against the communist threat of China and Russia, to try to, you know, play on the whole, it's Israel and America versus the Red-Green Alliance. It's bullshit. It's a lie. Israel writes regular articles about how they're pivoting to China. It's like a very regular topic of discussion in Israel amongst themselves when they do the little confabs or when they write articles. It's all about how America is collapsing, America is going down, and that China will be their new sugar daddy, or India will be their new sugar daddy, or that we don't need America because China will, you know, fill in. And they're playing this game, right? They know that, you know, America is rivals with China and will do a lot to try to keep China out of the Middle East. Meanwhile, Israel, like, given China backdoor access to the Middle East because they're not our friends, because they're not our allies. Just search, like, Israel, China. They're like best friends. Israel and China go way back, you might say. And of course, I love the video that we used to play it a lot. We haven't played it in a while, but it's the Chinese professor talking about how he forced the Politics and Prose bookstore to host Xi Jinping. And he's bragging about it. And I love it because it shows in really stark relief the difference between China and America, where the American business owner is like, I don't care who you are. I don't like you. You're not using my business. And as an American, I'm like, hell yeah. That's what being an American is. That's what it means. That it doesn't matter if you're the king of China, queen of Timbuktu, you don't outrank an American. You have no power over an American. That little bookshop of his, it's his. He owns it. He gets to decide who goes there and who doesn't. Oh, you're the king of China. You're the president of China. Get lost, buddy. I'm an American. Yeah, China highlights new chapter with Israel at embassy celebration. They just spent $33 billion on a trade deal in 2025. Beijing's new Tel Aviv embassy hosted the first major event since the Gaza War ended, marking the year of the fire horse. Bilateral trade reached a historic $33 billion in 2025. Yeah, America just needs to stand up for ourselves. Like, it's just like all of our enemies just having a field day with each other. Let's go to clip 8 here. So this is basically my reaction as well. This was posted by Shane Jenkins at The Real J6 Shane. Let's watch.
Good morning, everybody. Shane Jenkins here at a really nice gym. They've got patriotic barbells and flags and see I'm wearing my gear, but I just wanted to say last night, you know, I appreciate President Trump coming out with the election fraud information. I think, you know, we've been screaming this for 5 years. That's why I went to the Capitol to protest a stolen election. So my take on it is you're going to lay out the evidence. Where is, you know, where are the arrests? When you start rounding up people like they were rounding up January 6ers, I think that shows that you guys are serious about holding people accountable, about securing our elections, about righting the wrongs of the 2020 election. So great that you rolled out the evidence. Now let's put some power behind that punch. Let's start rounding people up just like you rounded up J6ers. I would love to see the same roundup of the Epstein perpetrators, because those victims deserve justice just like we do. So God bless you all. Hope you're having a wonderful Friday. Get out there, get outside, enjoy the weather, enjoy the air, take your dog for a walk, get up off the couch, call somebody who you haven't heard from in a while, check on your friends. It's up to us to take care of each other. So I love y'all. God bless you all. May he provide for you today like he does every day with abounding grace and love. See y'all soon.
You know, I totally agree with him, but I'm just trying to figure out how to deal with this, because they're not going to do it. They don't want to do it. They're lying. If they want to do it, they would. I'm trying to think of an example of just, but like it couldn't be more obvious. It's just like, they just don't want to do it. There's nothing stopping them. There's no barrier. There's no legal, you know, roadblock. There's nothing. They just don't want to do it. They don't care. That's why you should be insulted that they come out and give speeches like this, because they think that will satisfy you. They think the people are getting a little restless, getting a little pissed off at the Trump administration. It's going a little far. And then they make this announcement and everybody, oh, okay, something's happening, but nothing's actually happening. Nothing's happening. Nobody's being arrested. And I actually love that he said, round these people up like they rounded up J6ers. Do you realize what you're asking for? We can't get them to arrest the actual criminals. The people who created the virus in a lab and killed millions of people by lying about it. We can't get them to arrest them. The Democrats arrested Stuart Rhodes when he never went in the Capitol, explicitly told people not to go in the Capitol. They arrested him and threw him in prison for 20 years on the basis of an unspoken conspiracy. I would love to get to that place with leftists and Democrats. I would love to be arresting every single one of them, no matter what they did, because that's what happened to us. But first, can we go after the actual criminals?
When the deep state removed Richard Nixon back in 1974, he had the highest approval rating of any president since they started doing approval ratings in the last 100 plus years. And so now there's this rediscovery of Nixon, and he's certainly anti-establishment. So we have an entire line of Nixon 2028 shirts that are extremely triggering to libtards and others. And so many other incredible designs now available at thealexjonesstore.com. But whatever you do, visit the site, the very best supplements, amazing methylene blue, the best bovine colostrum, collectible coins, the very best water filtration, highest ratings for showers and for your drinking water. All of it is symbiotic. All of it's a win-win. All of it is great. All of it empowers you and it funds our operation. Please take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. But whatever you do, share our new news site with the live video feeds, the archive feeds, the videos, the special reports, the articles at alexjoneslive.com. That is the coordinates of the Second American Revolution worldwide at alexjoneslive.com. And follow me on X at Real Alex Jones, on Rumble, rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. You're the Paul Revere's. Tell them where the resistance is right now. You've got all the power. When you take action, you're unstoppable. I salute you and I thank you. Now take action now at thealexjonesstore.com.
They called me crazy. They called me paranoid. But now they know I was right. Tonight, more conspiracies that turned out to be true on this episode of I Told You So.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Next witness is James O'Keefe. He's an American investigative journalist and media entrepreneur. He's the founder of Project Veritas and currently serves as the founder and CEO of O'Keefe Media Group. Mr. O'Keefe.
Chairman Paul, Ranking Member Peters, and members of this committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify. In February of 2026, I disguised myself as a homeless person and approached a petition circulator on Skid Row near San Pedro and South 6th Street in downtown L.A. I saw cash clipped to his shirt, which I thought was odd. The petition circulator told me, we're going to need 14 signatures and we're going to pay you $2. One of our reporters, disguised as a heroin addict with track marks on his arm, asked the homeless, what's going on here? They all replied with one word, money. We recorded a woman named Brown handing over cash as payment in exchange for a homeless person to register to vote in a federal election. Now that is a federal crime. Congress expressly criminalizes payments to people to register to vote. Why? Because the vote is sacred. It's an act of conscience, of judgment. And when it becomes contaminated by incentives, when it is for sale, it undermines the sanctity and fairness of the process designed to elect those who represent us. Our investigation contributed to a federal criminal prosecution, with U.S. Attorney Bill Esalia saying, once I saw these videos, I went to work. Brown described the whole thing as a, quote, pyramid game. And then came the irony. In a neighborhood of NGOs in Los Angeles designed to protect the vulnerable homeless population, the person being confronted by the NGOs was not the fraudster, it was the reporter exposing the fraud. Just minutes after we exposed these felonies, I was approached by a man who identified himself as being with the LAPD, and he began to record me. When I pressed him, he admitted he was actually with the LA Homelessness Authority. Under California law, that's a crime. So this was also a form of fraud, albeit covering up for the fraud happening across the street. But it got worse. We witnessed petition circulators giving marijuana in exchange for signatures on the petitions. And when they spotted our camera, they told one of our reporters, I'm going to knock your bleeping ass. Don't come over here again. I'm going to beat your ass. He threatened us. So we decided to band together. We formed a Citizen Journalism Justice League featuring Savannah Hernandez, Cam Higby, Anthony Rubin, and John Tro. And over the next few weeks, we caught dozens of these cash and drug exchanges for signatures on the petitions. Together, over the course of those next few weeks, we released reporting that prompted the governor of California not to attack us, but to say that what we did was important and the activity should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. We also found next ballot petitioners asking homeless to sign in other people's names. We recorded over the shoulder one petitioner who took out his phone to access an online database to pull voter rolls and addresses. Quote, I have an Idaho address, said the voter. The petitioner says, I'm going to give you an address to write. Your name is Robert. Another says, I'm giving you a new name. So we visited the residents of those people who were disenfranchised. One of the names was Vicky Walker. The homeowner at that address said for 9 years he received election mail in the name of this Vicky Walker. In fact, he told me he'd received so many ballots in the name of Vicky Walker, he named his cat Vicky Walker. We returned to ask for comment from the petitioner who was offering drugs in exchange for signatures. The same individual who had threatened us earlier, he grabbed the petitions and hid them in his car. When we caught up to him, one of his associates charged at us and punched my producer in the neck. The two men then charged at me. And right before they struck us, Cam Higby deployed pepper spray. With pepper spray in their eyes, the two men continued to attempt to assail us. My colleague Braden and I had no choice but to run for our lives. To this day, all the fraudsters that committed state crimes roam free. This, as Nick has said, is not a political issue. It's not a partisan issue. It's not a conspiracy theory. And it is most certainly not circumstantial evidence. Everything I've testified to you here, all the quotes and many more, are all recorded on tape. So the question before this committee is not whether the fraud exists or whether it's happening. Oftentimes in politics, y'all debate the facts. The facts are what they are. The question is why the incentives allow it to flourish. There is money in fraud, but there's no money in exposing the fraud. And when laws are ignored without consequences, fraud becomes the incentive. Fraud becomes the model of life. Tony Moore, One of the coordinators for the ballot petitions told us if there's no consequences, it doesn't matter. And that's the point. I don't have subpoena power. Us journalists don't have the power to do anything but expose. They campaign in this building about freedom and protecting democracy and preventing disenfranchisement and how nobody is above the law.
The info war is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the info war. Articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at RealAlexJones and on Rumble at rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. And don't forget to download the app. Go to AlexJonesApp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
AlexJonesLive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
All right, folks, I found it. I found the clip. And it's one of these things I just sort of solipsistic like this, I guess. I played this video and I think about it all the time and I kind of just assume everybody else knows what the hell I'm talking about when I bring it up. But I probably haven't played it in 5 years, so I should probably play it again. Just so you know, what it is. Professor Di Dongsheng explains how U.S. owns USA and possibly Biden. Part one. And interestingly, the original video where we download this from no longer exists. So it was taken down, but I did find this other re-upload. And as soon as the crew gets it in the machine, we'll go to it. Because I think it is important to understand how China views America, how they treat us. And you know, it's kind of one of the weird good things that Obama did. He produced a documentary called American Factory, I think it's called. And it basically shows these Chinese people taking over like a Midwest factory. And yeah, they think Americans are idiots and they think that we're gullible and soft and weak. And they basically like tell each other this and they're just speaking openly and they're just like, Americans are dumb and soft. So you need to treat them nicely like you treat a dog kind of thing. And it's just endless, you know, disrespect and ego from them. And I feel like it's one of those things where like humility can like backlash sometimes. Like when people are humble and like dumb people think you're just weak or like think that that's because you don't know any better. And in a way, like this just goes into America just sort of losing its edge. In fact, there was another video that I should bring in. I saw it right before I went live, so I didn't bring it in. But it was two people discussing basically why Israel now doesn't try to hide its crimes. Because you can go back in history and like they would deny things. They would claim it was an accident. Or I mean, they were very, and I mean, you can even go back to the beginning of the Gaza conflict in November 2023 when they hit the first hospital. It was like a week of debate and they were, you know, Israel was releasing audio saying, no, listen, it's the Hamas guys. They admitted it was them. And that audio was fake. Like, they were actually going out of their way to try to be like, we would not bomb a hospital. Now they're literally just like, check out how many hospitals we bombed. And they're discussing, you know, in this video, the guy asked, like, why is that? Why did that change? And the response, I think, is accurate. It's because there's no punishment. There's no pushback. They've just sort of pushed out the boundaries until it's at the point where they can say whatever the hell they want, admit to whatever crimes they feel like, and nobody holds them to account. You know, you picture the scene from The Boys when Homelander finally gets fed up and kills a person with his laser eyes right in front of everybody, and there's a moment of like, oh my God. And then everybody cheers, and he looks around like, okay, I can get away with this now. That's what's happening with Israel. Is the end of 2023, they're going, us, a hospital? No, we would never. Like, how dare you even suggest? That's anti-Semitic to say that we're bombing hospital. Fast forward 2.5 years, and they're just like, you're trying to rebuild a hospital? We'll bomb that, too. We'll bomb your workers. They literally admit to deliberately targeting healthcare workers in Lebanon. That gets a strategy now. So whether it's China or Israel, they're just walking all over on it, all over us, because they don't have respect for us, because we don't stand up for ourselves, because we don't punish them when they do bad things. So they get this reemphasized over and over that America's not going to do anything to stop us. And this is who you're dealing with. We're dealing with people that aren't going to do it on their own. They're not going to limit their own actions on their own volition, by their own conscience. That's not going to happen. You stop them or they don't stop. And it's kind of weird because there's still this like hangover of like white people used to be more hardcore, and there's still like a hangover of that. And you hear it. And again, whether this is just the an artifact of the propaganda that's gone on, but you know, you'll watch videos of black people being like, you won't find me around white people. That's not safe. And it's like, what do you think is going to happen? Like, I don't even believe that they really believe that. But like, it used to be like that, but certainly white people used to, you know, not let people get away with stuff. But you know, in a way, we've just sort of lost our edge and just let ourselves get walked all over. And it's like, people are like realizing this. I think that's what's up with India now going, hey guys, let's demographically take over all these places. They're not going to stop us, and we can use our power to rig their votes. And, you know, what are they going to do? Kick us out? They don't have the balls. Let them try. They won't do it. So it's like, we gotta just understand the mindset of these people and understand that in our eyes, white people represent a block, like a population block that's at odds with them. They used to be incredibly powerful and intimidating and dangerous, and you didn't want to mess with them, and you didn't want to even do stuff that they don't like, right? You didn't even have to do stuff to America. If you did stuff America didn't like, you'd be in trouble because we'd come in and kick your ass and set it right. We stopped doing that. We started going after Israel's enemies instead of the enemies of us or the world. And so they don't have respect for us anymore. They don't fear us anymore. It literally all goes down to fear. We have to correct that. We have to correct that. Let's go to this professor. Again, I think there's so many aspects of this video that are worth exploring, but I think it is a very, very accurate, informative, enlightening view on the minds of the Chinese elite, because this guy was like a direct underling of Xi Jinping. He's very high up in the Chinese establishment, in the Chinese government. His attitude, the way he talks about America, you can see that it really is a mafia. Like, they really are operating like a mafia. And I remember this clip in particular, because when we first watched it and first aired it, I was commenting on it live. And I said, at one point, the guy says something about, you know, we'll talk and you'll be reasonable. And I paused because I was reading The Godfather at the time. And I said, you know, this is the Godfather's move. This is what the Godfather would do. This is what Vito Corleone would do. Was he would use that term, be reasonable. We just want you to be reasonable. You can either sign the paper or you can have your head blown off. What's the reasonable choice to make? And then like right when I said that, we played the video and the guy's like, you know, it's like the Godfather. And I was like, oh my God, he literally said it. So like, there's so many aspects to this. There's the mobsterism, the gangsterism. There's the fact that China has people in America that will help them get things done, which is, you know, the point of bringing this up in the first place. But overall, it is the arrogance and the egotism that really comes across to me, in contrast with, yeah, there's the American people. The American people sleep with the fishes, Miriam Adelson says to Xi Jinping. So let's go to, this is Di Dong Dong or whatever. Let's watch. It's just because we have people at the top. At the top of America's core, inner circle of power and influence. We have our old friends. We don't have much time. I won't go into details here. I'll only tell a little story. Mayor Zhang just told some stories. It worked very well. So I'll also tell a story. Oops, it's a shame that this story, we're doing a live broadcast on the whole internet today, and it is said 1 million people are watching it, so I have to control how much I can tell. I can't betray others.
Let's put it this way. In 2015, before the last visit of the General Secretary Xi to the United States, we know all our systems in the United States need to work. So one of our party systems, the way that the system could help warm things up in the United States, was public opinion. So it was arranged that the first edition of the English version of Xi Jinping's new book, Xi Jinping, The Governance of China, would be released in the U.S. We would hold a book release event to help him build up momentum. Who should do it? Just like today, they found out. They said to me, Dongsheng, you have a way with foreigners and you're better. All right, hold on. Go back. We gotta rewind it. Cause this is the thing. This is how they talk. This is how they talk about foreigners. All right. Roll it. So he says, Dongsheng, you have a way with foreigners and are better at fooling them, right? Like you're good at tricking the stupid foreigners, right? We need you to go help set up this book tour. This is the way they think about Americans. It's not, hey, you know, we're trying to do this book tour. You're friends with Americans. Maybe you can, you know, help us get involved. It's like, you are the goy whisperer. You are the white person, you know, tricker. You can fool them the best. You go set up this thing. Okay. So again, highest levels, elite Chinese. This is how they talk to each other. And again, it's not necessary. It's not like you need to trick us into having your book reveal here, but do you understand what I mean? That like Americans, it would never occur, like just that phrase alone, you're better at tricking the foreigners. You set up the book tour. It's like, that is so foreign to us, that whole mindset. And so now you imagine this guy, this Chinese guy goes to an American and is going, hi, I'd like to set up a book tour for Xi Jinping. To the American, this is all up front. This is all out in the open. Hey, you want to do a book tour? I got a bookstore. Let's make a deal. And like we're just these like innocent, naive children. Just like, you want to share your toys? I'd love to share toys. Meanwhile, the Chinese guy is like, all right, idiot, I'm going to pretend to be nice to you. I'm going to pretend to be your smiling friend, and I'm going to get everything of yours. Like, that's the mindset they're coming in with this. Not how do we mutually benefit? How do I fool you? How do I trick you? How do I get one over on you? Okay, so literally, they go to this guy, say, we want to do a book tour. You're the best at fooling foreigners, which I guess I don't know how you measure that, but he's the best. You're better at fooling them, right? Let's roll it. Everybody laughs. Because they'd seen how I fooled foreigners and they thought it was very good. So they said, you act as the host and guest speaker. So it's very similar to our event today, where I'm both the host and guest speaker. So for the venue for this event was already decided by the leader. He said it was next week, next Thursday, 3:30 p.m. Go to the most important politics and prose bookstore in the United States on 2650 Connecticut Avenue in Washington. That's a professional bookstore. So we needed to go over there for a book launch. We needed to hurry up to communicate with the store. We know that the East and West work in different ways. You asked me to secure a venue on such short notice. It was tough. It turned out that the bookstore owner was very spoiled. He said, sorry, we cannot host you. Let's pause it right there. That again, this is the difference in mindset between the Chinese and American. The American guy says, I don't want Xi Jinping doing his PR move to try to warm up America for a friendly reception to the Chinese communist. No, I'm not interested in being a part of that. As an American, we would look to the Chinese guy and go, better find a different place. Sorry, the owner of the bookstore says you're not allowed to. That's his right as American. You got to find a different place. That's how it is. Because that's our right as American. Like I was saying last time, I mean, doesn't matter. You can be the Queen of England. You can be Moses reborn. The American business owner says no. The answer's no, buddy. Sorry. You have no power here. Go back to China. You can have all of the influence you want there. Here, we're American. So to us, this isn't just normal. This is like a point of pride. China censors boast about influence on China, Wall Street after it goes viral. That's kind of interesting. So on December 9th, 2020, turns out this speech was taken off the internet. It's been re-uploaded since, but I told you the first one got taken down. Maybe we need to look, because I don't remember that part of this speech. I just remember the bookstore part. Maybe he talks about Biden here later. But he says he was very spoiled. So there you go. Let's pause that. Sorry, we cannot host you. He's so spoiled. That's their mindset. You're spoiled. You know, all this freedom that your country's given you, all this authority you have over your own life and business, you're spoiled. No, this is what it is to be an American. This is the rights you have as an American to determine who you allow in your business or not. That's what it means. It's not spoiled. It's being a sovereign human being with your own will and no authorities over you who can order you to do one thing or another. I know I've talked about this too because there's a, my favorite book series is the Master and Commander book series by Patrick O'Brien, Aubrey Matron series. And there's a scene in one of those books where it's a British warship, British Navy vessel, and they pick up a American sailor. And this was, you know, late 1700s, shortly after the American Revolution. And it's funny, the conversation between the British guys and the American guy, where they're trying to figure out what this whole freedom thing means. And they would be like, so who is your lord? And the guy's like, nobody. And they're like, okay, but who tells you what to do? He's like, no one. And they're like, okay, all right. I think I'm getting it. So how do you know what your profession is? And he's like, I do whatever I want. I serve nobody but myself. If I want to serve a master, I do it on my own volition. And if I don't want to anymore, I get up and leave. It's called freedom. It's called liberty. This was a new concept. Nobody on the world, in the world didn't have a master. Everybody had a master. If you weren't a king or a pharaoh or a, you know, shah, you had a master. Even if you were second in command, that king was your sovereign lord and could order your death. America was the only place that said, you know what? You're on your own. You want to go out in the woods and try to build a house? More power to you. No one's going to stop you. No one's going to tell you not to. No one's going to press you into a ship and force you to be in the Navy for the next 10 years, like the British would do. This concept is so deeply, fundamentally American, and it is so at odds with every other place in the world. And that line has always stuck out to me. This bookshop owner, he was so spoiled, he didn't want to let Xi Jinping have access to his bookstore. The spoiled little child of the authoritarian dictator didn't get his way. And so he projects that onto the American patriot standing up for himself. He perceives that as spoiled. This is the mindset difference. It goes on. Then I asked, you tell me, which author booked this session? What did I mean by that? There's nothing that dollars can't handle, right? If I can't do it with one stack of dollars, I'll do it with two. Of course, that's my way of handling things. Remember, he's the best at fooling the foreigners. But alas, the bookstore owner was very spoiled. Very spoiled. Oh, so spoiled. He said, I'm sorry, I'm not going to tell you which author has booked this time slot. We have our principles. So he was very spoiled. He put on airs with me. He was spoiled. No, you are nobody. You're nobody. He doesn't owe you anything. He doesn't serve you. It's not spoiled. It's called being an American. Having rights. So this concept is alien to this Chinese twink. And again, I'm the best at fooling the foreigners and these stupid, they'll do anything for money. I mean, it's just this air of superiority, this unearned ego, this unearned superiority. And this is so frustrating because literally the owner of a bookshop in America is better and more important than you. He's better and more important than Xi Jinping. Like that needs to be our view. Is like whose opinion really matters? The king of China or some dude that owns a bookstore? Sorry, that guy's American. He's the one that matters. He's the one that actually, you know, contributed to this great nation, not the leech that has built itself off of our detritus for the last 20 years. Out of our generosity, we've allowed China to become what it's become. And they have this arrogance. They think they earned it. They have this, they are the spoiled, arrogant, conceited ones. When America was
you know, inventing the Model T, they were still feet binding their women. Okay? This arrogance. So unearned. And of course, you know, this is the beauty of America, is that we are the best, and yet we're humble. We're not going to go around like this guy. You know, in comparison to people like this, I'm the best at fooling the foreigners, and I can buy anybody with anything, and I'm just, you know, these stupid, spoiled American thought he could say no to me. How dare he, right? These conceited scum. All right, let's continue. So I asked around, and I found out that he was a Democrat before and was once a journalist in Asia, so he was very unhappy with our party, so he purposefully chose not to cooperate. Yes, as is his right as an American. Then I thought we'd lost the chance. At least we needed to change the time and place, right? Keep going. So I turned this issue over to the leaders. Let the leadership solve it. I was only a guest to help, right? On Thursday morning, the vice department head of that department, who was the real keynote speaker of that day, called me and said, "Little D, let's go ahead with the original plan. And at the same time and place as we planned." After lunch, I rushed to the bookstore only to find the leadership was there earlier than I. The reason why today we were able to follow our original plan to execute it smoothly is because of this outstanding person. Then he introduced an old lady to me. She has a big nose. I could tell that she's Jewish by the first glimpse. She handed me a business card saying, "My name is so-and-so." What's happening here? Well, what's happening here? "I won't betray her name here. She said, 'My name is so-and-so, Mira Madison. Nice to meet you.'" Probably not Mira Madison. Could be. "Attention, she speaks very fluent Mandarin in Beijing with Beijing dialect." What? I was very surprised. I said, "Oh my, you speak Chinese even better than I do. I can never get rid of my Jiangsu accent." Upon hearing that I flattered her, she was very pleased with herself. She said, "Not only do I speak Chinese, I also have Chinese citizenship." Do you understand this? Do you have foreign citizenship? If you have foreign citizenship, you can't have Chinese citizenship, right? This old lady wouldn't give up her dual U.S.-Israeli citizenship for Chinese citizenship. So I immediately understood she was an old friend of us Chinese people. She then said another sentence that impressed me very much. She said, "I not only have Chinese citizenship, but I have Beijing Hukou, registered permanent residence. I have quadrangle dwellings on Cheng Street in Dongshen District. When you come back to Beijing, come and have tea with me." Are we starting to get a picture? Are we starting to get an image? Now, if the crew can do me a favor, back up. Now, remember the reason he's telling. Oh, yeah. Then he brags about how the bookstore owner was like super unhappy, but they forced him to host Xi Jinping anyway. What methods were used to lean on him, I'm not really sure. But I think we're seeing, like, is anybody confused by this? What is our greatest ally doing collaborating with our greatest enemy? What could be going on here, you guys? What's happening? Roll it back to 4 minutes. Start again at 4 minutes, because listen to how he introed this story. He's telling this story to intro the point that he makes right before telling the story. The story is about the usefulness of China's old allies, the Jews, okay? So back up to 4 minutes, play it here. Because this is how he starts. He says, "We have people at the top of America's core inner circle of power and influence. We have our old friends." And then he tells this story about pressuring the bookshop owner as an illustration of some of the old Jewish friends they have at the top of American politics that help them get things done and screw us over for the benefit of China. China, we gotta stop.
And a microscopic tag being implanted in a person's body to track his every movement. There's actual discussion about that.
And often they're things you don't know what to do with. UBOs, they're called unidentified bright objects.
Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior?
Who's got the brain that's going to be most susceptible to a particular kind of manipulation?
So the point is, they've been obsessed with this. It's going on. The COVID shots implanted the matrix graphene oxide to grow. It's now being scanned. It's now being read. They were putting chips in the troops 30 years ago. It, the revolution's already here is what you're saying, Jesse Beltran.
These are just chips on a size that you can no longer see. They're nano size. One's 2,000 times the width of a human hair. The graphene oxide, the silicon-based materials that have been in, we know for a fact that they were in the mRNA. We know that Dr. Ido Bachelet signed a contract with Pfizer in 2015 when he did that TEDMed talk with a trillion robots in a 1cc syringe, and how he teaches his students how to, once they're in a host, how to control them with RF emissions.
And you heard Colin saying 21 years ago that, oh, yeah, when we're doing scans, we find all these chips, these bright objects, ha, 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 wonder to put them there. But as you said, you've been doing this 20 years, and about 10 years ago, you began to go away not seeing chips anymore, but just liquid emulsion nanotech. Here you are 6 months ago or more scanning me. Let's go to Alex Jones getting scanned.
So if you put that camera in there, you see how it says probably silicone? That means it's an electronic component. And it's not unusual to find that in the posterior ear area.
So wait, I got a higher reading than him?
No, his was higher than yours.
Okay,
yeah,
that's
yeah, but you did get a positive reading there. So you are getting the you know, base of the neck is what we typically see. Scapula area. What we're finding is after post-COVID, this is very typical. We're completely bombarded by this stuff.
From your own research, there are compounds naturally in nature that just do absolutely incredible things that will draw out these type of things. But you guys have come up with one with scientists that adds these special sea minerals in that then even drags it out even more. And so I have been taking this, the dreams I've had, my skin, my health. What it's done is absolutely insane. Get masterpiece.com. Matt Hazen, tell us what this does, and people can get 10% off when they follow the URL, getmasterpiece.com, or use promo code Alex when you're there on the site, because this is really special.
Zeolite is an incredible mineral that is known as what's called the master binder. And what that means is it's known to pick up every type of forever chemical, toxin, toxic heavy metal there is, including fluoride. So when you see charcoal or carbon or clays for binders, you don't see that they will pick up fluoride. Zeolite's different. Zeolite also gets the fluoride. That's a very big deal. It is great at removing these environmental toxins from our body. Masterpiece is the highest grade sea mineral plasma solution. It is basically isotonic, the same mineral composition as your blood plasma. So the sea minerals are being carried in by the nanometer, sub-nanometer size clinoptilolite zeolite. And once the toxin hits the zeolite, it releases and displaces the mineral. People don't feel bad. There's no normal detoxing reaction.
Everybody needs to go to getmasterpiece.com. You get 10% off by using that URL automatic when you go. There's promo code Alex as well. Getmasterpiece.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, folks. This is War Room Live, AlexJonesLive.com. I'm so glad I played that video. We must have played it 5 years ago, because it was before, probably 6 years, no? Yeah, 5 years ago. It was probably in early 2021, because it was before we moved to the American Journal studio. So I haven't played that in a while. I'm glad I did. So I remembered him saying the thing about the big nose, but I forgot he'd been explicit about it. I bet we could find out who that woman is. I mean, there's probably not that many, you know, Jewish women in American politics that also have a permanent house in Beijing and speaks fluent Mandarin. I bet it wouldn't be hard to find out who that woman is. And I'd like to know what the method they use to pressure the politics and prose guy. Just a fascinating insight, fascinating glimpse into the role of Chinese influence in America and who their partners in that are. Of course, the Communist Chinese were set up by Rothschild Bank, so they've been in it from the beginning. We'll move on, but I think what I'm going to do is in the first 5 minutes of the next hour, I'm going to play that video in full, just without my commentary, because, you know, we just saw, like, that's been removed. It was censored. Apparently there's parts later in it where they talk about Biden, but I think that video needs more attention than it's getting. So in the first 5 minutes of the next hour, we'll just play the video straight. You can record it, screen record it off your phone and upload it yourself if you'd like. But just so our audience can have it, I'll play the full thing in the first 5 minutes of the next hour. In the meantime, let's talk about Flock. Let's talk about Flock. Luckily, you know, people are waking up to the threat of Flock. It's already well established in a lot of American municipalities, but it can be reversed. I'll tell you about that in just a second. But let's start with clip number three here. This is the spokesperson of Flock being caught by a reporter lying about the capabilities of their cameras and how they track people in addition to cars and objects. Let's watch.
You're saying Flock does not track people, correct?
Track people, that's right. And the whole their movements, like you asked, we're not tracking people.
But what do the Condor cameras do? They literally are designed to track a person, aren't they?
Not to track a person, no.
This is a Flock camera known as a Condor. Unlike the Falcon license plate reader camera, you'll notice this does track the movements of people. Whether or not it was designed to specifically track a person, you can see right now, in real time, no matter which way I move, the camera moves with me.
And that's not all that those cameras do, by the way. We've seen how they can even track your phone screen to find out what you're looking at.
I could watch a man rollerblade and then take a break to watch rollerblading videos on his phone. How? Because the camera's AI automatically zoomed in on it. Just like it zoomed in on a couple arguing at a street market in Atlanta. So what? They're still anonymous, right? No, they're not. Within 2 minutes of open source intelligence using a commercial facial recognition engine, I found out that one of them just finished medical school and the other is dealing with chronic irritable bowel syndrome.
There's a reason why some cops openly brag about how you can't even breathe without them knowing about it.
You have cameras everywhere in that town. You can't get a breath of fresh air in or out without us knowing. Like I said, nothing gets in or out of the town without us knowing about it. I already know where you were.
Yeah.
I have it on camera. I have you on camera walking up, ringing the doorbell, taking the package and literally running away.
So again, I don't know why he would lie about this. How cops use Flock to track people, not cars. Why would the Flock representative try to deny this? These are the queries that cops use. Cops have used Flock's freeform search feature to look for people with tattoos and wearing specific sports shirts, and searches sometimes include the target's race, including to data reviewed by 404 Media. People querying or searching things like non-Caucasian male wearing blue shirt, blue pants, white hat, male with tattoos, female with UGG boots, men wearing a black t-shirt and shorts. So what do they mean they don't track people? Like, it's just absurd to suggest that they don't track people. I guess they don't automatically track people, but the function is there. Be like me saying my car doesn't move. It's like, well, unless I get in and press the pedal, then yeah, sure, it does move. It's like, okay, so your car moves. Well, the Flock cameras don't track people. I mean, unless you go in and ask to track people, in which case it absolutely does. Okay, so they're lying. Wonder why they're lying. Gee, I wonder why they're lying. And again, they're just like data centers, just like so many other things. There's so many aspects to this that either are wrong on the face of it or ripe for abuse. It's wrong to film and track people no matter what. If they haven't done anything wrong, they deserve privacy. So let's just establish that outright, but then it can be abused. Then you can also, yeah, it has AI pan, tilt, zoom, fixed video surveillance camera. It offers a subscription-based turnkey solution. And yeah, it track. What? Why would it pan, tilt, zoom? Why are they putting it in parks? There are no cars in parks. There are no cars in, you know, the Everglades where these things are. It's ridiculous. So already on the face of it, when it's operating in perfect functionality, it's still wrong. But you can also abuse it endlessly
we've reported multiple times in the last few weeks. Just this week, 9 officers were fired for abusing the flock cameras by spying on exes and things like that. Meanwhile, there are flock cameras going up at like splash pads where little kids are playing in their bathing suits or outside daycare centers. So already on the face of it, without any abuse, it's already bad. It's already wrong. It's already a violation of our rights and an intrusion to our privacy. On top of that, the cops are then given total access to real-time surveillance of any person they feel like searching, don't need a warrant, don't need to justify it, and can probably do it pretty easily without getting caught if they just know the right keywords to use. Let's go to clip number 5 here. This is Tucker Carlson and Ben Jordan discussing how it was discovered that these flock cameras were being used inappropriately by police. Let's watch.
There's a place there called Marcus Jewish Community Center. It's a private, large community center that's kind of beloved by the community. And they have cameras on the wall there that aren't flock cameras. They're like the standard cameras you would have in any sort of business. And the community center said, okay, well, we're a little worried that there might be some sort of anti-Semitic attack. So we want to share our footage with police in case they need it, in case there's a shooting or something terrible happens. And by doing that, they shared it with flock. So what Jason had discovered is that over 1,000 times, flock employees viewed those cameras inside this private community center, including but not limited to the pool, the daycare center, the children's gymnastics room, and nobody had been arrested. Nobody had to answer any questions about it. In fact, they actually made it harder for flock to collect an audit or to collect a record of who was looking at the camera internally from the company.
Wait, just to be clear, it was flock employees who were not licensed law enforcement officers.
All
right?
Grown men. Yes. Yes. All flock employees, over 1,000 times, and they were all grown men. And they were looking at these cameras of the daycare center, the children's gymnastics room, like, and their defense to this was that it was a product demo for another client. And I'm thinking to myself, if I had a business and I wanted a flock camera, if I had a police department and somebody pulled up a laptop and said, look how good this works. And then it was a children's gymnastics room. I would call the police, like, or hit them. I'm not sure what I would do, but that's an outrageous explanation. That's just delusional.
How many flock employees were fired after that?
None. Not one. They took down their LinkedIn though and deleted their, one of them was in a band and removed his band page on Facebook. So yeah, they pretty much got scrubbed from social media because, you know, I released a video about it on Instagram and it had made the news a little bit. And so they immediately just scrubbed their profiles.
So remember, employees have real-time access to this stuff. Again, not licensed law enforcement of any sort. Certainly don't need a warrant. I would also question the accuracy of the excuse that they provided. Well, we're doing a product demo. But they said that the synagogue or the community center had cameras of their own. So I guess you could be pointing out that that's a functionality, but that seems a little weird. Seems like if you're trying to do a demonstration for a flock product, you would want to use a flock product. But no, it seems like they were just perving on children. That's what it seems like was happening. And yeah, nobody's holding them to account for this. And so on top of the just, again, obvious opportunities for abuses, on top of the violation of our privacy, violation of our constitutionally guaranteed rights to privacy, amongst other things, on top of all of that, you have the fact that they aren't even stopping crime. And if they did stop crime, it wouldn't matter because the DAs are all Soros DAs that just let the people out again. What is the excuse for this? That's what I mean, like whether it's data centers or anything else. It's like the thing they're supposedly for, they don't do, isn't necessary, does not require a nationwide network of live-time AI cameras every 15 feet across the entire continental United States. You need to arrest the bad guys and throw them in prison. But even if you film them on flock cameras, arrest them, and try them, a Soros judge or Soros DA will just let them off with a slap on the wrist anyway. So I guess, you know, flock will be there to capture the next crime and the crime after that and the crime after that and the crime after that. And you'll have flock cameras with
recordings of 54 crimes this one individual has committed, and he's out on the street again, being captured again on the Flock cameras, committing more crimes. So until you deal with the actual problems, coming up with a bunch of solutions that don't actually solve the problems aren't actually helping anything, and they're creating a whole bunch of other problems on top of it. So what are we doing here? This, again, is the absurdity. I see people on the right being like, Flock cameras are necessary to, you know, deport immigrants. No, it's not. Most immigrants signed up to be an immigrant with their app on their phone. That's a better method to track them and find them than any camera anywhere in the world. You have their phone device. You have an app on their phone. They had to download it. They have to have it to get updates for their cases if they feel like going to court, actually. You can just round these people up. You can just cut off their welfare. You can just arrest them. What are the cameras doing? How are they helping? They're not. So what are you talking about? And by the way, if it was like, we deported almost everyone, but there's still a million people here and we can't find them, okay, fine. Use the cameras to identify the last remaining people. Until we exhaust our normal, you know, attributes, our normal things we can do, the normal methods of policing and deportation and border patrol, then sure, maybe the extra sneaky migrants you got to use the Flock cameras for. But there are like 50 million illegal immigrants in this country and we're not deporting them. Flock cameras are not going to help. That's not the problem. We're not running around trying to deport everybody. And it's just like, if we only had cameras, we could actually do this. No, we're just not even trying it. We're barely trying it. Anytime anything goes badly, we put a halt to the whole thing and spend a couple of months twiddling our thumbs before we decide it's politically convenient to start up again. This is not necessary. If they actually cared about stopping crime, there's about 15,000 things they would do before creating a digital panopticon surveillance grid on every block of every U.S. city. There are ulterior motives at play here, just like with the data centers. They lie about everything. They lie about absolutely everything that has to do with Flock, which is why a lot of American cities are rejecting their agreements with Flock. Let's go now to clip number 4. Several towns in Connecticut are permanently taking down Flock cameras once and for all. Let's watch.
Town leaders here in Windsor say it was not an easy decision, but they have decided to pull the plug on the 16 Flock cameras that were set up around town. And to be clear, these cameras are not the kind that send you a ticket if you go by speeding or running a red light. They just sit there quietly photographing every vehicle going by, noting the time, license plate, and location. If a car is stolen out of Hartford, police can access the Flock cameras and see if that car went by a camera here in Windsor. But town leaders have decided to turn off those cameras because Flock Safety could not guarantee that it's not sharing its information with federal agencies like ICE.
Where is the data going? Who has access to that information? Who can access that information? Is it being shared with third parties?
In a statement from Flock Safety, they say public safety and privacy are not competing goals, and Flock is committed to transparency, accountability, and local oversight in every community we serve. Now, one resident here in Windsor used a Freedom of Information Act request to find out how many times camera information was accessed. He got it for a 9-week period and found out that that information was accessed by third parties more than 500,000 times in just 9 weeks.
That's a lot more than I was expecting. Holy. Okay. So in 9 weeks, I'm sitting here doing the math in my head. I'm like, man, if they requested like 1,000 times in 9 weeks, that'd be kind of a lot. I mean, that's a lot. What is it? I mean, yeah, that's, you know, dozens of times a day, 500,000 requests. You're telling me in a 9-month period, there were 500,000 requests for one town in Connecticut? That's what I heard, right? I mean, I'm not crazy. 500,000 requests? Crew, what is 500,000 divided by 90? I need to know. I'll do it here on my computer. Because I got to know how many, I got to break this down. I got to figure this out. 500,000 divided by
90 is they were requesting information 5,555 times a day from one town. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. How is that even possible? What does that even mean? That's crazy. That's nearly 1,000 an hour. What? I mean, that's nuts. They're doing like 12 a minute. What? Yeah, I don't know. That doesn't even make sense to me. I don't even know how to interpret that. But that's good. This is the way. So you got 16 flock cameras. What do? Do you go cut them down with a grinder? Well, what happens then? You're risking a felony charge. You might get caught. I mean, you are going after a surveillance camera after all. You're costing the city money. Flock doesn't pay for cameras that are destroyed. That comes out of the city coffers. Now, am I saying don't destroy flock cameras? I would never tell you to do anything illegal. What I'm telling you is that there's a more efficient and effective way to do it. It's that if you want to get rid of 16 cameras that are around your city, don't bother going around with a grinder cutting down 16 lamp poles. Go to the city council and force them to stop. Problem solved. We got one more video, and then I'll try to tie this all in together with the political stuff that we're dealing with. Let's go to 25 here. Patriot showing flock cameras track him and his phone as he walks by. Let's watch.
So we are getting this flock camera. It's emitting this Connect 36295 Bluetooth signal. It will randomly emit that. You can see it right there. We observed it 32 seconds ago. I can start this back up, and you'll see we'll observe it consistently. This specific unit is obviously set off by human motion. Whether that's taking a picture of me is questionable, but the IR element definitely is set off from human motion. As you can see, no cars are coming. There's that Connect signal. It's a Bluetooth signal. You can see at the top there it's coming from the back of this battery pack. I believe it's coming from that white battery module emitting a Bluetooth signal. This looks to be a standard Falcon ALPR unit, so it's not going to be the AI video powered condo unit. The easiest way to tell is the camera. The IR unit is more towards the top of the camera as opposed to the Condor where they're on the middle. You'll be able to see this triggered by the cars. It's taking 6 to 8 images of each vehicle as it goes by, make, model, color, decals, damage, and then it's uploading that basically via LTE to Flock OS where it becomes searchable, indexable, and they can refer to it later. So very extensive system. Again, we're picking up that Connect 36295 signal coming from the what I believe is the BLE battery pack, or the battery pack on the back of here giving off a BLE signal.
All right, so very informative. And, you know, a couple things that he points out there is, for one thing, the infrared detection clearly activates when he walks by as a person. It's not activated by cars. It's activated by motion, and that includes human motion. It's off-putting a Bluetooth signal, meaning it's also receiving Bluetooth signal, or at least has the capability to detect electronic signals that perhaps pass by it. Of course, you know, an interesting design choice of the flock cameras is to be totally wireless. Some have wires, but a lot of them, they have that solar panel on top. There's nothing in that pole. It's just the camera, the battery pack, the solar panel, and then it connects wirelessly, as far as I understand, which makes it able to operate even during a power outage situation, which would be very useful for bad guys if they wanted to pull something off, like I suggest they might. So we gotta, you know, continue to fight back against the flock cameras. They sort of have a head start on us, but it can all be undone. It can all be undone. Like we saw in Connecticut, like we're seeing in other places, that's the winning maneuver. Don't try to tear down every camera as they put it up. You'll never be able to tear them down as fast as they can put them up. But if you destroy them wholesale by getting the city to cancel the contract, then that's a one size fits all
Gordian, cutting the Gordian knot type of solution. That's actually not that hard to achieve. And the way I want to tie this all back in to politics in general and Israel and all this stuff, we'll have to do that on the other side, because I want to play a video from Nick Fuentes that we just don't have time to play here, but relates to the flock camera stuff, because you saw there, I believe that was a, you know, Democrat council member from Connecticut, because she's saying that her concern is that these flock cameras are being used by ICE. There's another situation where it's like, they're right for the wrong reason. They're right that the flock cameras should not go up. They only care because they think immigrants are being hurt by it. What they should do is care about the principle of the matter, about the fact that the government just doesn't have the right to do this to anybody. Doesn't matter if they're immigrants or not. Like, they would not care if this was being used by the United States government to spy on and punish the American people. Maybe they would care once they realize that the crimes it's reporting, you know, are being committed by black people at an oversized rate. Then they'll call the flock cameras racist and fine, you know, whatever. Whatever stupid reason they need to get to the right side of the issue, it's fine. It's fine. As long as we're getting rid of the flock cameras, call them racist. You know what? The flock cameras are racist. The flock cameras are racist, and if you don't want to take down the flock cameras, it's because you're a racist. It's because you want immigrants to die, and that's the only thing flock cameras are used for. I don't really care what their ideas are. The actions that they're doing are effectively eliminating the flock camera network in their cities. So we'll see. And, you know, Nick Fuentes lays out in a really, you know, powerful way how, like, the Democrats just understand the current political situation better. And for whatever reason, you know, whether it's because it's blaming on racism or whatever else, they're aligning on the correct side of certain topics. And that's a big issue, because the Republicans should be the ones championing things like constitutional rights to privacy. But we've given that up, and the left is only cares about it because they think it helps immigrants or black people or whatever. If we could all just be principled and actually oppose this stuff for a good reason and oppose it powerfully, this wouldn't be an issue. But again, we'll play that on the other side. Actually, on the other side, we'll play the Chinese professor in full so you can get that video. Then I'll come back and talk about this a little bit more and play the Nick Fuentes clip and talk about elsewhere the influence of Israel in American politics and, you know, the fallout of that. I do want to remind you, folks, we've got a lot of great deals going on right now at thealexjonesstore.com. It's buy one, get one free for the Irish sea moss capsules, I believe. And then also buy one, get one 50% off for some of our top-selling products as well. Yeah, it's the ultimate sea moss capsules. Buy one bottle, get one absolutely free. Ultimate Turmeric is 30% off for a limited time offer. That's our new product. Try that one now. NAD Plus, buy one, get one 50% off. All available at thealexjonesstore.com/air.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when. Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
就我们在美国的全市核心圈啊，我们有我们的老朋友。时间关系，我这都不多展开给大家讲个小故事啊。张市长，我看这个讲的非常好啊，都是讲故事是吧？所以我也讲个故事。那么，哎呀，可惜这故事今天全网直播是吧？据说百万人在看啊，所以我得掌握一下这个度啊，这不能把人给卖了。这么讲吧，2015年啊，这个上次习总书记访问美国之前呢，我们知道各个系统都要在美国帮他暖场，是不是？那么咱们的啊党的某个系统，他在美国帮他暖场的方式呢，就是舆论啊，舆论的话呢，就是这个习近平谈治国理政那本书的新书英文版第一版新书发布会放在美国，在他去之前先搞一个新书发布会，啊，帮他造势。那么由谁来做呢？就跟今天一样啊，他们发现说，哎，狄东升，你这家伙比较擅长于忽悠老外，是不是？这个，因为他们看过我怎么忽悠老外的，是吧？他们觉得现场效果非常不错啊，你来主持兼嘉宾啊，所以那次跟咱们今天这个活动很相似，我既是主持又是嘉宾。地点呢，领导定下来了啊，说这个谁谁谁，你们下周啊，下周礼拜四。下午3:30去那个美国最重要的政治与散文书店啊，在那个华盛顿肯尼迪克大街2650号吧，好像是啊，去那边专业书店去那边办一个新书发布会啊，然后我们就一线赶紧去沟通啊，大家知道这个东西方工作方式不一样，你临时抱佛脚让我去沟通这个地点时间是吧，很麻烦的。结果那个书店老板很傲娇，说抱歉接待不了啊，接待不了。后来我就问了，我说你告诉我哪位作者把这个场次定下来了，啥意思啊？天下没有美元搞不定事情是吧，如果一打美元搞不定是吧，那我就两打啊，这个当然这是我的工作方式了是吧。结果那么结果呢，这个书店老板很傲娇，说抱歉我不会告诉你哪个作者已经把这个新书发这个时间段给定下来是吧，我们是有原则的啊，他跟我非常傲娇啊，跟我很装。后来打听才知道，这哥们儿啊以前是民主党人，算是民主党人，以前做过驻亚洲的记者啊，对我党啊非常有看法，所以故意的不配合。后来我以为这事儿得黄啊，至少得换时间换地点是吧，结果哎，我们把矛盾上交嘛，让领导去解决吧，是吧？反正我是客串的帮忙的，是吧？结果到了礼拜四早上，哎，咱们这个那个部的一位副部级领导啊，也是那天的真正的 keynote speaker 是吧？他给我打电话说：“小迪啊，咱们按我方原计划，在那个时间，在那个地点继续照办。”啊，吃完午饭我就赶去，结果领导到的比我还早，给我介绍啊，今天我们之所以能够按照我方原计划得以顺利执行，就是因为这个啊，我们今天这位功臣，顺他介绍，一位大鼻子老太太是吧？一看就犹太人，这个老太太给我递名片啊，我叫某某某啊，我这名字不卖了是吧？我叫某某某，请多关照。注意啊，一口流利的金片子，北京话。然后我很惊讶，我说：“哎呀，您这个中文讲的比我还棒啊！我永远改不掉我的江苏口音，您这个一点口音都没有啊，是吧？”老太听我夸他口音好啊，得意了。我告诉你啊，我不但会讲中文，我还有中国国籍，大家知道吧？你有外国国籍吗？你如果有外国国籍，你不可能有中国国籍嘛，是不是？他这样的老太太是不可能为了中国国籍放弃美国和以色列双重国籍的，是这意思吧？哎，啊，我一下明白了，这是我们中国民老朋友了，是吧？啊，然后这时候这个，然后啊，下边还有一句话啊。这个让我印象非常深刻，我不但有中国国籍，我还有北京市户口
长安街边上东城区有一套四合院啊，等你回了北京过来喝茶是吧？这个这一年你在这儿有啥事儿，记得找我，意思吗？这点我罩得住啊。然后我这时候看见那个前边很傲娇的是吧？那个书店老板满脸黑线，安排员工排桌子排椅子，很不情愿，被人强摁着干这事儿，接着茬儿，是吧？我说您怎么搞定他的？是吧？我们前面沟通不下来啊，这个很傲娇的。老太太皎洁一笑。我跟他讲道理，大家知道这话来路吧？美。
Do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing. Someone else will save the galaxy. It pleases me greatly.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Nothing can stop me. The force lies within.
There is no escape from what you are becoming.Lay down your weapon or be destroyed.
You know, I don't know if a third party is the right solution. What I know is that the Republicans are not the right solution. So I think what we need now is sort of a new Republican Party.Trump has been a great disappointment. He was that opportunity. It would have been amazing. It could have been great. It would have been really nice to have the Republicans actually back him up. But in the event that they didn't, the next obvious thing would be to replace all of those people using the incredible, inordinate, unmatched, like inexpressible influence that Trump had and has over American politics to like swoop in another class of, you know, America firsters, make America great again people, but it just never happened. So now we're stuck with a bunch of communist, traitor, progressive, socialist, communist on one side and a bunch of boomer Israeli, Israeli first GOP dinosaurs on the other.We need a new party. And I think, personally, the big difference between the current Republican Party and the new one that could actually make changes for the better is that we have to drop the obsession with small government. That is a trick. It doesn't exist. It's just a method of getting conservatives to refuse to do anything. And a lot of people, like, are coming around to this.A lot of people still stuck in the old ways. I think Nick Fuentes has sort of the clearest vision of this, so I'm going to go to a longer clip of his. And it's him explaining the actual dynamics at play politically here, why Democrats are just absolutely destroying the Republicans and will destroy the Republicans in the midterms, and what the Republicans need to do.To A, reverse that trend, and B, make it worth it to reverse that trend. Because right now, on top of Drudge, Democratic Socialist top MAGA candidates in CNBC's All America poll. So when this poll was put out and they basically said, you know, would you vote for a, you know, this type of candidate or this type of candidate without actually putting names to it?They find that Democratic Socialist candidates receive more support than the MAGA supporters. More voters would likely support a Democratic Socialist candidate than a Make America Great Again supporter or a candidate endorsed by President Donald Trump, the CNBC's All-American Economic Survey released Friday found. This is a real threat. This is a real problem. And it is really the consequence of Republicans never doing anything for anybody except for themselves and Israel.
a lot of this. We just want a solution. We just want an answer. We just want to feel like we can throw our support behind a political party that is serious and will actually deliver results. That's all we want. We are desperate for an alternative. A lot of people out there, they don't care about communism. They don't care about socialism. They just know that the system as it exists now is screwing everybody over and collapsing everything. It's failing. It's not worth upholding. It's not worth fighting for. It would take a lot of work to keep it going, and we don't even want to keep it going because it sucks. So you got to do something better. You got to suggest a better option. You have to actually prove that our system is worth it and our system is good and our system can provide for everybody in the society, not just the 1%. We've got to get over the false dichotomy that says this is a battle between capitalism and communism or small government and big government. That's not what this is about. This is about a government that works for the people or a government that works for the corporations and exploiting the people or a government that works for foreigners and exploiting the people. I want a government. I don't care what size it is. It has to serve me. It has to serve us. It has to serve our national interests over and above and to the exclusion of every other interest. That's all that we want. And short of that, half the young people in this country are going, then fine, socialism, whatever. As long as it destroys this system, we'll figure out what's next. I would like America to survive. I would like our system to continue to exist. I would like our civilization, the greatest to ever grace God's green earth, to not just continue to exist, but to expand and grow and impose ourselves on our surroundings. But that's not going to happen when the entire movement gets hijacked for the benefit of Israel and BlackRock. Nick Fuentes lays it out perfectly. Let's watch. Clip 17.
The Democrats and their focus on housing and healthcare, that's an indirect way that they are America first. Republicans' education policy is eradicate anti-Semitism and criticism of Israel. Democrats' education policy is subsidized education for Americans. Republicans' healthcare policy is that anti-Semitism is a public health crisis. Democrats' healthcare policy is make healthcare more affordable. Okay, think about it. Democrats are winning elections in Pennsylvania, in New Jersey, and they're running on affordability. They're running on the impact of data centers. They're running on affordability of housing and healthcare. They're running against the wars and in favor of subsidizing our own population, making sure that we're stakeholders in the AI economy boom and that all the wealth doesn't go up to the firm owners that actually control these industries. Meanwhile, the Republicans are shoveling money to Israel, shoveling money to Israel-aligned oligarchs. They're prosecuting a regime change in American institutions to make sure that pro-Israel Jews retain control over them. Now, once again, let's not overstate things. Here's the other issue. The Democrats are not even America first. Why are they doing this against Israel? They're doing all these things fundamentally because they oppose Israel's treatment of Gaza. And I oppose Israel's treatment of Gaza, but that's not even really the biggest problem. Fundamentally, the biggest problem is that a foreign country is controlling our nation and our affairs. The Democrats have said, look, we want to keep giving Israel humanitarian aid, and we might even want to give them security assistance, but they just have to not attack Gaza. Well, I don't even really want to give them security assistance. And if we do, I don't even just want it to be contingent on that. I'd want it to be contingent on other things, too. So Democrats are even coming at it from a different place. They in a way, they want to stop giving money to Israel so that we can give it to illegal immigrants, so we can give it to, these huge amounts of people in our country that don't work, to people that are already the beneficiaries of major government programs and in-kind transfers through services. This is where the Republicans have an opportunity, okay? This is why I'm not a Democrat. This is why I'm saying we need to vote for Democrats to make a point. In the same way the Democrats are voting to strip Israel of its foreign aid to make a point, we need to vote for Democrats to make a point. Here's the larger picture. The real opportunity, it's not with the Democrats, because what are the Democrats going to do? They're going to continue to support Israel, no doubt about it. And they're going to put America last in other ways. Open borders, pathway to citizenship, taxing white people to give money to foreigners. They're going to reopen USAID and they're going to give all the foreign aid to Africa instead of Israel. Okay. Let's not go crazy here. When I say that Israel's more Democrats are more America first than Republicans, I mean that to make a point, which is Republicans bill themselves as America first and they're, compared to the Democrats, they're not. Here's the opportunity. Republicans have a real opportunity in 28 or in 32 to rebrand and seize the initiative on this issue. Democrats will eat our lunch unless Republicans meet them where they are. What do I mean by this? If Democrats' message is, let's take the money that we're giving to Israel and give it to illegal immigrants, let's take the money that we're giving to Israel and fighting the wars and let's make healthcare free and let's make everything free for all these people that don't work and let's open the borders and have queer liberation. What are the Democrats doing? They're isolating the Republicans with the one issue we can't give up. They're saying, look, we may control the borders and we're going to reduce prices. And unlike the Republicans, we don't have the Israel issue. They're unwilling to give it up. We're going to seize the initiative on economic populism. We're going to seize the initiative on other issues. Republicans have an opportunity to outflank the left in exactly the same way. The Republicans need to learn how to play politics and say, look, unlike the left, we're going to give you free stuff too. We're also going to kick the illegals out. We're going to close the border. We're going to kick the illegals out. We're going to put America first. And we're going to give all the freebies as well. Yeah, we're going to take care of everybody. We'll have Medicare for all too. We'll have Medicare and Medicaid for all too. Who gives a shit? We're not going to touch Social Security. We're not going to touch Medicare. We're going to make housing more affordable. We'll do all the things the Democrats are doing. We're going to end the foreign wars too. We're tired of the foreign wars. We're going to defund Israel and we're going to have a strong border. And unlike the Democrats, we're not going to have trannies and we're not going to have open borders. We're going to do the things that they won't do, which is we're going to stop the worst excesses of wokeism that are still there and we're going to close the damn border. That's something Democrats will never do. We'll give you everything we're giving and the things they're not willing to give. That's the winning Republican message. And you know what that's called? It's called America First.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't really agree about healthcare just because I don't want universal healthcare and there is no situation where you can have Medicare or Medicaid for all and it doesn't basically spiral out and become universal. I mean, we see how that works in Canada and England. It doesn't. So I'm not in favor of that. But the sentiment overall, absolutely, 100%. 100%. And the thing is, it only makes sense with the Republicans to do this because these things actually make sense. We're going to have economic populism and deport the foreigners. Well, these two things go hand in hand. Deporting the foreigners will raise wages, which will help with the economic populism. Like, these things are actually aligned with one another. The Democrats are the insane people. They're like, we're going to give you a welfare state, but also have open borders. That's nonsense. That's crazy. And I've said this for a long time. Can we not make some deals? Can we not go, okay, you know, you guys don't like the war. We don't like the illegal immigrants. Let's do a little trade-off here. I think we can make that deal. We get the deportations. We get the border shut. In exchange, we don't go fight wars overseas. I actually want both of those things. But, you know, in the traditional Republican-Democrat construct, can we not find a middle ground here? You get some of what you want, we get some of what we want, and everybody's happy instead of them getting everything that they want and Republicans taking a principled stand against ever doing anything ever. So like I said, I'm not in favor of universal health care, but the idea of, you know, Republicans rewarding their voters, yeah, that should happen. Of course, it does happen with Republicans, only not the voters. It goes to the sponsors and the corporate partners. Like, they don't have a problem with rewarding their supporters if the supporters are millionaires and billionaires. There's very much a quid pro quo. I support you. You go to war with Iran for me.
I mean, that does happen at the higher levels. They just never ever see the need to do that to the average person. And remember, the reason they don't do that is because they don't need to, because Republicans vote even when they don't get anything, which is why it's important to not vote Republican in the midterms, to send the Republicans a message. You can't get away with this anymore. You have to actually do something for Americans. You cannot assume that we'll vote for you no matter what. And that is what they assume. Again, I'll remind you, I was talking to somebody who was relating a meeting they had with the head of the RNC or something equivalent. I won't tell you exactly what it is, but very high up there, and, you know, something very similar to the RNC, saying verbatim, they're going to vote for us no matter what. The people are going to vote for Republicans no matter what, because the other option is so terrible, the other option is so insane, that they don't have an option. They have to vote for us, so we don't care what they want. We don't have to give it to them. They'll vote for us anyway. We have to break that cycle. Sorry. We have to. And it's the Republicans' fault that it's like this. They could just reward their... But I mean, the $1.2 billion settlement to the victims of political persecution that was made available by the government, and that it was Republicans that stepped in and said, no thanks. No, we don't want to reward our supporters or to just actually provide justice for the people who had their lives destroyed because of their political activity. People who went to the January 6th event, no intention of doing anything wrong, never did anything wrong, walked through the door high-fiving the cops, and they get thrown in solitary confinement for a year of their life. They deserve recompense. They deserve something for that. They were wronged. They were abused by the government. The government should be responsible for making it up to them. And they got a $1.2 billion to do that, and the Republicans stepped in and said no. And the whole idea of, oh, we got a fiscal responsibility, we got to get rid of Social Security. Social Security is a Ponzi scam. It was never meant to last. It was always predicated on infinite growth. It was always a scam. But we have infinite money for war. We have infinite money for surveillance. We have infinite money for welfare. We don't even notice that hundreds of billions of dollars go missing year over year over year until some kid in a hoodie with a cell phone busts the story wide open and reveals the trillions of dollars we've been robbed of. So the whole charade of, oh, we got to make some difficult cuts here. Yeah, it's going to make everybody hate the Republicans, but we're the bad guys that have to do the right thing. No, you're just scamming everybody. Again, when it comes to warfare, trillions of dollars, no limit. Money doesn't mean anything. But when it's Social Security, we have to have some real serious conversations. And if it's $1 billion to give directly to our constituents because of the pain and suffering they experienced, let's not go crazy here. What is wrong with y'all? Wake up. It's a new world. It's a new political paradigm. You have to actually do stuff now. You have to actually use your power to benefit the people that vote for you, because the people that vote for you aren't just going to choose somebody else. They're going to go away forever. They're going to be eradicated from the face of the earth. This is a different one. U.S. voids Donald Trump's settlement with the IRS. He gave him immunity from tax audits. Again, I think Trump thinks he made a deal that they're just going to screw him over on as soon as he's out of office. It's the stupidest deal of all time. When from the very beginning, he had all of the authority, and time again, it's delivered at his feet, the mandate of the people. 2016, he should have hit the ground running. He should have thrown Hillary in prison. He should have imprisoned Comey, imprisoned Page, imprisoned Strzok, made deals with them. You're going to prison for the rest of your life unless you tell us who organized this. This wouldn't be hard. This wouldn't be difficult. This wouldn't be complicated. It's all there. All the evidence you could ever possibly need. Nothing is ever done. Then he gets 2024, where not only does he not move to the center, he doubles down on everything. He goes further on immigration, further on the wall, further on everything. He wins an even greater share of the vote, meaning he was delivered a mandate with all three branches of government and a stamp of approval from the American people, left and right, because of his coalition building, because of the Make America Healthy Again movement that joined his cause. It was at his feet. All he had to do was pick it up. He just didn't do it. He just didn't feel like it. He felt like going to war with Iran instead.
Then you had the Charlie Kirk murder. And once again, the outpouring of hatred from the left had everybody who was talking about it in the days after the Charlie Kirk murder excited, going, this is going to be great. We're going to round all these people up. All these scumbags, you know, now we know who they are. Now they've killed Charlie Kirk. They're about to see. The hammer's about to come down. Yeah, because people thought Trump actually loved Charlie Kirk. They thought he actually cared about, you know, his biggest supporter being murdered. They thought this would be, you know, get an emotional reaction and there would be a crackdown. And guess what? I literally said, I don't know if it was in the clip we played this week, but on September 11th, 2025, the day after Charlie Kirk was murdered, I made the case, like, look, if Trump came out today and said, we're rounding up every Antifa member, you think I'd complain about freedom of speech? You think I'd complain about overreach of government? No, it was a moment when we had the emotional paradigm, we had the emotional initiative to actually make tangible, real, devastating impact on the growth of Antifa, the far left, the extremist. We could have. We didn't. So whether it was the first administration and the fraud, or hell, you could even say 2020 was another golden opportunity, where once again, he was right about the election being stolen. And if Trump was a better man, honestly, was like better at what he's trying to do, had better people, if he didn't let William Barr destroy the investigation, multiple investigations, if he didn't let the people around him, you know, present him with all this nonsense, like he never once, I remember at the time begging him, going, what is Trump doing? Like in that time period between the election of 2020 and January 6th, probably every day I did a show, I kept being like, what is Trump doing? Why does he not come out and give a freaking presentation? Give a PowerPoint slide show. Show us what's, show the graphs that show the vertical line. Show the reports from, do a primetime address where you have all of this data, you have all this evidence, and you present it in a slideshow. Stick to the script. Instead, we would get speech after speech with all these vagaries and all these like weird things about, I don't know, Italy and like nonsense. There was so much evidence. There was so much proof. It never got presented. It never got argued for. I would argue that was another chance where Trump had all of the justification in the world. It would have been correct morally, and I would argue even legally, for him to say, this election was fraudulent. I'm not going anywhere. We're investigating this. We're getting to the bottom of this. Anybody trying to stop me is in on the steal and is going to be complicit. Does that sound too extreme? What did they do on January 6th? I mean, they literally came out and said, we're doing a shock and awe campaign. We're going to arrest the most prominent people first. Is that law and order? Is that, you know, let the punishment meet the crime? No, that's specifically targeting political activists because of their political activism. They did that. They've never even been punished for that. The people that threw my friends in prison attempted to do it for the rest of their lives, but certainly destroyed their lives, cost them hundreds of thousands of dollars, stuck them in solitary confinement for months on end. The people that did that to them have not paid a single price. Never spent a single minute looking over their shoulder, wondering if they'd be arrested. They have no concern about that. Most of them still have jobs. Most of them are still working in the same offices that they used to abuse and destroy the lives of American people over their political positions. And Trump has done nothing to do any of that. So the Republican Party has failed. And they have failed to preserve the United States. They have failed to such a degree that it's not like they're going to go away. We're all going to go away. They have taken on the mantle of American patriotism, and then they did nothing to actually progress that. They have taken all of the energy, all of the populist energy, all of the popularity. They said all the right things. They pretended to believe all the right positions. Then they got into office and they screwed us over on behalf of Israel. And either a new Republican Party has to emerge from the ashes and actually support America and actually be America first and actually support policies that make any sort of sense for the people that live here, or we might as well just, we're just Soviet Union 2.0, and we'll have Trump himself to thank for that, nobody else.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple.
They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out at the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones, and the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan, in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Well, folks, we still have a lot more to cover in this final segment of the War Room Live for this Friday broadcast. Look, everything I'm about to say is allegedly, all right? In fact, I don't even believe this. I think this is crazy. I would never accuse this person of conspiring with the communist Chinese, but Google's Gemini, they seem to think this is the case. So I'm just going to report on this incredibly stupid conclusion that Gemini came to. I mean, can you believe this thing? Basically, I asked who the person was that Professor Ding Dong was talking about. I'm not talking about that. But if y'all want to bring up my computer screen, you know, this Ding Zhong person, it must have, yeah, stopped over. I'll restab it here. All right. Because I do have to present this. So let me know when you have my computer screen. So Professor Ding Dong from China was bragging about how he forced a American bookstore owner to host his communist propaganda gathering. And he brags about, you know, the Chinese having old friends in America who could help them get things done. But he refuses to mention who the woman is. And I asked Grok and I asked ChatGPT to identify the woman. And they both came back with the answer, well, the guy didn't say who the woman was. He said he didn't say her name. Got a little frustrated, so I went to Gemini. Y'all don't sleep on Gemini. I didn't know this, but I was talking to somebody who's really into AI. Apparently, because Gemini is Google, it gets access to like Google's index, and it gets like literally hundreds of times more sources, like news sources, than any other AI. I don't know if that's true or not. I do know that it did the research that Grok and ChatGPT either didn't know or wouldn't do, didn't know how or wouldn't do. So I asked them, I said, well, who's this lady he's talking about? There can't be that many Jewish American ladies in American politics who live in Beijing and speak fluent Mandarin, can there? And so it answered me. It said, you are entirely correct. The demographic intersection of elderly Jewish American woman, a top Wall Street executive, a fluent Mandarin speaker with a Beijing accent, and the owner of a historic courtyard house near China's political center is an absolute needle in a haystack. Because the profile is so incredibly narrow, internet sleuths and China analysts immediately zeroed in on the exact same logic. When they parsed the elite circle of American expatriates in Beijing, only one person emerged as a close circumstantial match, along with a broader theory about who Di Dongsheng was actually referring to. When the video went viral, Chinese social media and foreign policy observers overwhelmingly pointed to Roberta Lipson. Roberta Lipson. So she is a prominent Jewish-American woman who moved to Beijing in 1979. She speaks fluent Mandarin, has been deeply embedded in Beijing's elite circle and political circles for over four decades. She's one of a few high-profile Westerners known to have lived in traditional Beijing courtyard house. She's a highly successful businesswoman, but she's not a Wall Street investment banker, which the professor claimed that she was. She is actually the founder of United Family Healthcare, a massive network of private premium hospitals in China. And by the way, she did have, you know, a thing or two to do with the outbreak of COVID. So if you want to look up who she is. Because Lipson is one of the most famous American women living in Beijing who fits the cultural and residential profile, many believe Di Dongsheng used her recognizable persona as the baseline for his story, but swapped her actual industry, healthcare, for Wall Street because the financial titan sounds much more powerful and sinister for his presentation's thesis. The alternative, the fixer composite, if Di was not exaggerating Lipson's profile, the alternative consensus among intelligence analysts is that he was referring to a high-level corporate lobbyist or fixer rather than actual bank president. Firms like Kissinger Associates, APCO Worldwide, and the U.S.-China Business Council have historically employed elite Western consultants to smooth over bureaucratic friction for multinational corporations in Beijing. Analysts suggested that he may have been conflating or intentionally blurring the identities of real-world figures such as veteran China hand Jan Barris, vice president of the National Committee on U.S.-China Relations, who is Jewish and deeply involved in high-level exchanges, or executives tied to Goldman Sachs CEO Hank Paulson's circle to protect an actual asset while still bragging about his access. So, yeah, it might not be the Roberta Lipson. Another candidate could be Jan Barris or somebody in Hank Paulson's circles. Ultimately, because the owners of the Politics and Prose bookstore firmly established that the dramatic showdown and subsequent Wall Street intervention never actually happened, which you got to wonder about. You got to wonder what the threat was where they gave interviews where they said, no, that never happened. We were happy to have Xi Jinping. Ooh. She does, in fact, look distinctly Jewish, as the Chinese professor claimed. So there is that. Check on that box, too. So they claim that it never actually happened. We are left with a logical paradox. You cannot find the true identity of a woman who saved the book launch because the book launch never needed saving. Dong Zhengsheng was certainly weaponizing the real hyper-exclusive profile of somebody like Roberta Lipson, adding Wall Street upgrade, inventing a heroic back-channel victory to impress his audience. Well, certainly he's a egotistical liar. Nobody's denying that. But I believe him. I believe him. But you'll notice that this is sort of common, isn't it? It's actually a well
established alliance between the elite Jews and China and the Chinese communists. I mean, where do you think the Chinese Communist Party got its start? It was Wall Street bankers. It was absolutely Wall Street bankers. The old friends he refers to. And then don't forget that Miriam Adelson doesn't really have a large stake in casinos here in America anymore. Her wealth, Sheldon Adelson's wealth, was built on casinos in Las Vegas. They sold stakes in Vegas. All of their money now comes from Macau, I believe, or Malaysia. No, it's Macau. So they have casinos in Macau, which is under Chinese control. So Miriam Adelson, the Israel First donor who controls Trump and sent us to war with Iran, she somehow operates billion-dollar businesses inside the power block of communist China. And they let her do it. They let her operate her casinos, despite the fact that she is ostensibly Donald Trump's biggest supporter, and he ostensibly is China's biggest enemy. None of this is accurate. Like, none of this is being presented honestly. And even just the few details I've laid out here should give you insight into what's actually happening behind the scenes. But we'll move on now, but it's pretty interesting. And if you look up Roberta Lipsum, she's not exactly anonymous. She's actually very involved in Chinese-American relationships. She's very public. There's lots of interviews with her and things like that. But apparently she's like, you know, a godfather-level mafiosa in the Jewish/Chinese mob. Which is just fascinating, just very interesting. We got a few more clips here because, you know, all of this is again a little bit confusing because if we go to clip number 20 here, this was a clip from either earlier this year or last year of Donald Trump talk about how important it was that we open up our universities to over 500,000 Chinese students. It's kind of inconsistent with the whole China's our enemy and tried to overthrow our republic thing. Let's go to clip 20 now.
But I think people would argue they worry about, do they have nefarious
intentions?
Sure,
I know, and we worry about that. And honestly, you know, they do things to us and we do things to them. It's a very, very fine line, the whole thing with students. So they have 500,000 students, and our university system does great. You know, it does great. You want to screw it up, take a 500,000 students out. Huh? And you're gonna see bankruptcies at the lower end of good colleges, but they're not known or whatever. You're going to have a lot of problems. So it's something I'm always looking at. But it's a very insulting thing to tell a country, we don't want your people in our schools. I mean, it really is. Now, I'll have people say, oh, that's a terrible thing. You know, it is a very insulting thing.
They show that over a period of years, starting during the 2020 election cycle, the People's Republic of China carried out what is believed to be the largest compromise of election data in history, resulting in China's illicit acquisition of 220 million U.S. voter files. That information includes names, addresses, phone numbers, political party preferences, and other sensitive data that would be needed to register to vote and engage in other nefarious activities, which is exactly what was happening. This data loss presents an unprecedented election security nightmare. The intelligence even shows that China has signed a data exploitation unit specifically to this new project. Compounding the travesty, the second set of documents we are releasing reveals that members of the deep state, very, very famous group of people, many cases, in our intelligence agency work to actively suppress and downplay information about the extent of China's sinister election meddling, covering it up from both the president and the American people like nobody thought was possible.
So there's an inconsistency here. So China's this major threat, but we're allowing 500,000 of their students into our university. I don't think I need to remind you if you watch this show,
but you do understand that the reason we're allowing Chinese students into our universities is because we made a deal with China to force them to sell TikTok to Israel, right? That we were doing a big negotiation with China. All of these things were involved, but the real purpose of it, the ultimate goal for the people whose opinion matters was we have to force China to sell us TikTok. They knew how desperate Israel was to get their hands on TikTok because they blamed TikTok for showing people what they were doing and therefore ruining their reputation. So they had to get TikTok. They felt like it was a life or death situation. China knows all this. They know that Israel is desperate to get TikTok, and they know that America is Israel's bitch. So they hold America over the fire, and they squeezed these concessions out of us in exchange for selling TikTok to Israel so they could continue to commit genocide and censor the videos of it. You ever just stop and think about stuff like that? Do you ever just stop and think about how insane all of this is? That America is opening up its university to Chinese communist students to the tune of 500,000. Also, a foreign nation can buy a social media platform to hide videos of their war crimes from the American people so they continue to get billions of dollars from America. You ever just stop and think about that? you ever just sit for a moment and really let that soak in? Because that's a doozy. That's a big one. But it's absolutely true. You cannot deny it. They don't say it, so the average person doesn't think of it. But you can think of it yourself. You can think about these things all on your own. You do not need Israel to come out and say, we are making America take students so that China gives us TikTok. And literally, people, like, without an explicit admission like that, people will think you're crazy. But let's see. There are negotiations. The main part of those negotiations were about TikTok. One of the main concessions we made in those those negotiations were the 500,000 students. What did we get in exchange for that? You can't point to anything other than what we got, which was TikTok. That's why we did this. We sold out our youngest generation, replaced them in school with a bunch of Chinese communist infiltrators. Also, Israel could cover up their war crimes so they could keep getting American money to commit war crimes. This is our current political structure worldwide. It's very frustrating. I find it extremely frustrating. By the way, let's go to clip number 33 here. As if you needed a reminder of this, but just to reemphasize the fact that there are no barriers to doing the right thing in America. If the government wanted, I mean, the excuses they come up with, they don't even make sense. Like, this is why I was trying to come up with an idea of, like some example where it's just something so easy, so simple, and they just won't do it. They just won't do it. So, you know, at a certain point, you have to understand that they're just not going to do it. And by it, I mean literally anything that will help America. They're not going to do it. Because they don't want to. Not because they can't. Because I know they can. I've seen what they're able to do. Look at what they did to get TikTok out of China's hands. Right? Let's go to clip 33 here. Just a little refresher about the fact that the Republican Party, with all three branches of government, cannot pass voter security. They cannot pass the SAVE Act. They cannot do something that has absolute overwhelming majority support from every demographic in America. They still can't do it. Let's watch.
Look here, favorite photo ID to vote. 85% of white people favor it. 82% of Latino, 76% of black Americans favor it. So the bottom line is this. Voter ID is not controversial in this country. A photo ID to vote is not controversial in this country. It is not controversial by party, and it is not controversial by race. The vast majority of Americans agree with Nicki Minaj that, in fact, you should have a photo ID to be able to vote.
And, of course, the joke these days, and I'm going to joke, but the real funny situation these days is that Olive Garden brought back all-you-can-eat pasta, but you have to have an ID. Olive Garden all-you-can-eat pasta has better security than the United States federal elections. So, it's not even a joke. I mean, that's just actually true. Which, again, is just insane. Everybody wants this, but they won't do it. So I think this is the point that, like, you know, Thomas Jefferson was talking about in the Declaration of Independence, when, like, the government that's been impaneled for the purpose of serving the people cannot even do the most simple things that everybody in the country wants. I think it's no longer fit for purpose. It doesn't do the main thing it's supposed to do. It does the opposite every single time. Maybe we need to overthrow the government and replace it with a better one that will actually do what it's supposed to. Maybe we've reached that point. Because there are a few things that just about everybody in the country wants right now. Voter ID is one of them. We can't get it done. And as far as I can tell, everybody in the country on both sides of the aisle think that Section 219 of the NDAA is a complete act of treason and will be merging our government and our military with a foreign military. It is asinine and suicidal, and nobody wants it, but every single Republican voted for it. Every single one, except for Thomas Massie. And I think this is a very good suggestion as to why that might be. Clip 36. Here's maybe one of the reasons why Republicans would all universally, ubiquitously, all except for Thomas Massie, vote for something that nobody in America wants. Let's watch.
Why is it only Democrats who sign on? Why don't any Republicans? Because every single Republican
voted against Massey's amendment.
Yeah, everyone voted against it and voted to give aid to Israel. So why is it only Democrats who he can work with on this?
I think Republicans are concerned what might happen to them after watching what happened to Thomas Massie. I mean, Thomas Massie just had tens of millions of dollars dumped on his head in Kentucky and lost a district that he'd won for more than a decade. And I think it is a function of political fear.
100%. Because the Thomas Massie race was an act of political terrorism by Jews, by the Jewish coalition, Miriam Adelson, and the elite Jews who took over the Republican Party. That was a act of terrorism to inspire this exact result, that now every single Republican is terrified to vote against Israel. Terrified. Because they know Thomas Massie's not anti-Israel. They know Thomas Massie didn't put a bill on the floor to eradicate Israel entirely. He just is a fiscal conservative and didn't want to send him money. Just like he didn't want to send anybody money. But that's enough. That's enough for the Israelis to want to utterly and completely destroy you and go to the ends of the earth. And do it obviously. Do it in a blatant way. They don't care. So absolutely. That was an investment. Not just an investment in getting rid of Thomas Massie, an investment in ensuring the absolute subjectivity of the Republicans from here on out. They are now fully bought and paid for, terrified little serf slaves of the Israelis, because they know a single vote in the wrong direction, they'll get the Thomas Massie treatment. And they proved that they could take one of, if not the most popular congressman in the Republican Party. I think Thomas Massie would probably top that list, especially in his own district. The man who, last time Donald Trump endorsed his opponent, Thomas Massie still won with 80% of the vote. He was untouchable. He was sovereign in his locale. And the Jewish lobby came in with a complete unknown who never did any events, never did a single debate, and won through mail-in balloting. They bragged about it. John Podoretz said, this is what it's going to be like. It's like going into a buzzsaw to go against us. Republicans received that message loud and clear because they're all cowards. Utter, ridiculous cowards. The reaction should be the exact opposite. When you see the way that Israel destroys Thomas Massie, your only response should be, I will be voting against everything pro-Israel from here on out. They cannot be treating our politicians this way and expect our support. How dare they? if like two or three, if just two or three of these old decrepit bone bags in Congress felt like standing up, they don't have enough resources to do it to three or four people. They can do it to Thomas Massie. They can hyper-focus on one. And this is the strategy, and this is what we have to learn. Without collective action, they pick you off one by one. Thomas Massie stands up, they cut his head off, and everybody else stays down. If two more people stood up, the whole thing is broken. The whole system, the whole operation is shattered. If just one or two people break the fear programming and stand up and do what's right. They rely on total submission. 100% submission. And to treat people like Thomas Massie as an example. They made an example of him. And all of the cowards in Congress dutifully bowed their head. So I'll never vote against anything again. Against Israel, never again. No, absolutely not. Oh, I couldn't survive what they did to Massie. Economic, political terrorism being inflicted on these people. Now, that's not the only one. This is how brazen these people are getting. Representative Fine vows to vote against House rules over feud with Trump advisor. A social media spat between Fine, Randy Fine, and outsider White House advisor Alex Dershowitz could cut into a Republican's already thin House majority. Randy Fine has told White House officials he plans to vote against every rule that comes across the House floor until President Donald Trump removes advisor Alex Dershowitz from his team, three sources tell Notice. For weeks, Fine, a Republican from Florida, has been telling colleagues he wants Trump to get rid of Dershowitz. Why? Because he doesn't think he's good for Israel. So here is a perfect example of a so-called Republican congressman deliberately going, I am now a barrier to your Republican agenda because, in my opinion, your advisor doesn't like Israel enough. So for the benefit of Israel, I will now be holding your agenda hostage, President Trump. You will no longer get your agenda done until you do what I think is best for Israel. I'm a representative from Florida. This is crazy. Like, legitimately insane. Because Alex Dershowitz isn't an Israel firster, I guess, because he went on Tucker Carlson, and Randy Fine thinks that's bad for Israel, he's voting against Donald Trump's agenda for America to punish them. When you're here, you're American. We'll make sure. That's good. So, you know, at a certain point, we got to understand, like, our entire governmental structure is literally run by the Jewish mafia. And at this point, they're so unafraid of punishment or recompense or being voted out of office or American politicians standing up for themselves that, like, they're really being blatant about it all. Again, if Randy Fine is voting against Trump's agenda because Trump didn't do what he thinks is best for Israel in firing Alex Dershowitz, he's got to go. He is literally being a barrier to what the American president wants because he wants to benefit Israel. He's a traitor. This is like treason, like openly, but they know they're not going to suffer from it. So they just keep doing it. Maybe they need to suffer from all of this treason they keep committing. Maybe.
They called me crazy. They called me paranoid. But now they know I was right. Tonight, more conspiracies that turned out to be true on this episode of I Told You So.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
We're doing man's work here. Fighting for the species as our forebears did. Building. Competing. Striving. Trailblazing. The maverick spirit is alive and well. Reality starts here. Victory starts here. Tyranny dies here. Freedom grows here. You have the power in your hands right now before we cover all this incredible, game-changing, over-the-horizon information.
to share the live feeds now at rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live, the coordinates of victory, and Real Alex Jones on X at AJN Live, and more. AlexJonesLive.com, our news site with the feeds, video, audio, article, special reports, government documents, think tank reports, and more.
AlexJonesLive.com, because there is a war on for your mind.
I want to bring down the new world order!
Yeah! I want freedom! That's what I want, and that's what you should want!
AlexJonesLive.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.